Prayers, when the Chauke have been here, if you remember in the debate last time we were debating about water and drought. The MEC was saying that every little drop counts. The rain, the prayers have been heard and the rain is here. As they say, water is life, but it also kills. It's a double-edged sword. The meeting is about drought interventions in the Western Cape. Cape Town having to be taking a big chunk out of that water, 80%. This is a drought that has been anticipated by all the water fundis and water gurus some 10 odd years ago. Question that should have arisen at the time, even now, Mr. Naidu. What did we do? What preparations did we do? Any mitigating arrangements and adaptation arrangements? These are the kinds of things that should be anticipated as and when we are to talk about any drought, even now, to be anticipated. We have been experiencing this drought since 2015 beginning. As to until when this drought is going to go on is everybody's guess, which then calls upon us that it is never late still to continue planning for the worst case scenario. As I said, this is solely a meeting about drought interventions in the Western Cape. The meeting has been requested by the Western Cape government together with the Cape Town government. We have since brought together in this meeting a number of departments that are relevant, say for one, if I am not mistaken, that is now environment. I'm not sure that they are here. I know that the lead department insofar as drought interventions are concerned through what is referred to as Disaster Management Center, COCTA, is here. If you can just get to see a hand or any two or three hands from COCTA. Okay, that's now the department I am talking to. If you don't mind, just say a quick one. I'm talking about departments. So we have the minister leading the department. thanks for that, Minister Van Rooyen. We also do have here Department of Water and Sanitation, which is convening this meeting. Minister is here. We all do know her. She goes by hashtag Mama Action. She acts. She is here with her team and all agencies. I see Water Research Commission there. I see the DG is here. They are all here. The other department that is here is agriculture. Can we get a hand from the department, agriculture? There we go. All the agri-fundis are here. That should be it, if I'm not mistaken, unless I'm advised differently. Yeah, I'm talking about those departments. I'm not talking about... Now, we certainly do have members from the committees respectively. From COCTA, they are here. From Water and Sanitation, we are here. the other one? Agriculture. The chair is here. The chair is here also from COCT as well. Mr. Mtakane is here. There he goes. Okay, certainly thank you for that, Mr. Brudo. You shall have to introduce your team, and perhaps a couple of that also with the municipality, and then we take it from there. Thank you, sir. Mr. Brudo is MEC for Environment. There's a long title there. You shall unpack it.
Chairperson, Local Government, Environmental Affairs and Development Planning. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Chairperson, I'm Anton Bedell, MEC responsible in the Western Cape for Local Government, Environmental Affairs and Development Planning. You want a team to introduce themselves to you?
Yes. Good morning, Chairperson, colleagues. Graham Paulser, Head of Department, Local Government in the Western Cape.
Good morning, Colin Dane, Head of Disaster Management, Western Cape Province.
Good morning, Chairperson and colleagues. Morris Brand, Department of Local Government, Municipal Infrastructure Directorate.
Good morning, Vilna Kloppers, Environmental Affairs and Development Planning.
Good morning, Darryl Jacobs. Darryl Jacobs, Department of Agriculture, Western Cape.
Not hear you at all.
Sorry, Chairperson, the name is Darryl Jacobs, Department of Agriculture, Western Cape.
Is that all? Cape Town?
Good morning, Chairperson. Councillor Zanti Limburg, I'm the Mayoral Committee Member for Informal Settlements, Water, Waste and Energy at the City of Cape Town, and I'm joined by officials, and I'll allow them to introduce themselves. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members. My name is Gareth Morgan, Director of Resilience.
Good morning, Chair, Members. Peter Flower, Director of Water and Sanitation for City.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Zolile Basholo, Manager of Water Demand Management and Strategy, City of Cape Town.
That should be it for now. An approach that takes the Western Cape government together with the City of Cape Town presentations and then followed by your National Disaster Management and Disaster Management Center, and to be followed by COCTA, to be followed by Water and Sanitation, and later by Agriculture Department. I must also mention that Provincial Treasury has also been extended an invitation. They are also here. Thank you for that. So I take it that we are fine with all of those arrangements, and then without waste of time, we shall have to move straight to a submission by Mr. Brodo, Mr. Dagane, sir?
Chair, I want to make a proposal that department should be the first. They should start after Western Cape and the city. Allow department and their entities should also contribute in that. I think that would assist us a lot if you handle it that way.
Madam? Seconded. Okay, it's fine if that is what we are seconding and agreeing upon. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that we have two apologies. Mr. Gallo cannot be here with us, and also Mrs. Kekana has her husband having been admitted So we do not have those two with us here. Okay, without waste of time, let's allow the Disaster Management Center to come before us. The COCTA minister shall take us through that process. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and a very good morning to members of Parliament, my colleague, Minister Mponyane, and Deputy Minister Chete, MEC, as well as officials from both national and provincial departments. I'm going to allow Minister Mponyane to lead the presentation from her department, and then from there we'll follow with a detailed one from the Disaster Management Center. Thank you.
There is a consistent move, you know, you assign this one and this other one comes and this other one, you know. Anyway, is this how you want us to deal with it? Minister Van Rooyen?
Preferably, because they are ready to present. Remember, we are told that the Western Cape will start and then will come after, so we're finalizing some few things. So they are ready to present.
Okay, Minister Mponyane.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Our colleague, Minister Van Rooyen, Deputy Minister Chwete, MEC Bredel, and the acting mayor of the city of Cape Town, Zanthia Liebenberg, members of the portfolio committees here. Chair, thank you very much for affording us the opportunity. We are here as a team that functions under an interministerial committee convened by the Minister of COCTA on issues related to disaster. We work in a collaborative way and also make a contribution to both provincial and local disaster management centers in line with the Disaster Management Act. The city of Cape Town, just like any other province in the country, has been affected by the severe drought. Of importance, Chair, what we also want to place before this meeting is the fact that whilst we will be dealing specifically with the Western Cape, we need to appreciate that we are where we are in the Western Cape because of the national disaster that has engulfed the country in terms of the drought, having actually been protracted over a period of 3 years. As we speak now, you do have some parts of the Eastern Cape that are severely affected. Areas in Limpopo where there's altogether no water availability, the boreholes that have dried in the northwest, particularly in your Zuras and your Bujanala district, and most importantly, the impact on the agricultural sector, which is actually quite critical for the economy of our country. And the Western Cape is one of those provinces that, for us to revitalize the agricultural sector, we need to make sure that there's reliability in terms of water supply for irrigation. I'm therefore, Chair, going to just briefly share with you on what we have done. We do have officials of the department that sit in the National Disaster Management Forum, but we have also seconded one of the strategic advisors of the department, Mr. Trevor Balzer, to sit in the City of Cape Town's committee that has been initiated by the Executive Mayor, Patricia Delisle. And upon the decision that has been now made just this week by the Western Cape Provincial Government, we are also quite excited that we would then find space to coordinate at a provincial level. But a lot of work has been done by the city and the mayor being the face and the champion of the work done, supported of course by our MMC that is responsible for dealing with this particular matters. I always say to people, the first time I met her, I thought she was a volunteer because of her height. But I think following the MEC of KZN, one of the champions when it comes to water resilience and speaking openly about the challenges has been our councillor in the city of Cape Town. We come from different political parties, but what brings us together is what must unite us, the issue of water. And I think we need to appreciate that as well as our colleague, Minister Bretel, from the Western Cape. So there's been a lot of work that we have done. Upon our consultation and work, we had to introduce the following restrictions, particularly on the Berg Olifants area, as well as ensuring that we give the necessary support to that. A proclamation in a form of gazette was introduced in September 2016, where we restricted and introduced the restrictions to the tune of 20% for domestic and industrial users and 20% for agricultural use. The restrictions to date have actually been able to yield some savings for both the city but also back into the regional bulk system. There has also been, from November 2016, an increase of the restrictions on the agricultural use to 30%, precisely because of us not being able to make the necessary interventions and seeing the necessary impact through the 20% restriction. This year in May, we then again gazetted further restrictions in the Breede-Goris and the Berg Olifants water management area to the amount of 20% for domestic as well as 30% for agricultural use. Of importance, Chair, is to again share with this meeting that as of the 28th of September, the following conditions were also introduced. The restrictions for domestic increased from 20 to 40% and agriculture increased from 30 to 50%. What is of importance around these restrictions is to ensure that all users comply with the restrictions that are in place. Together with the Department of Cooperative Governance, as well as the department's provincial office, we are actually also interacting with the catchment management authorities in the city, in the province, particularly looking at the Berg and Olifants catchments. The city of Cape Town has made application for the water use license for Berg water projects for Tierwaterskloof Dam and the abstraction from the spring. In our response, we responded as per the request that came from the Premier of the Western Cape in August 2017. We indicated that the water use license for Berg water projects, the Tierwaterskloof, will be finalized on the 8th of September. However, the deadline couldn't be met as the City of Cape Town had requested extension to submit information by the 3rd of November after meeting to discuss and clarify outstanding information on water demand for both applications of Berg water and Tierwaterskloof. The recommendation of the license for the abstraction from spring has also been issued, and what is being finalized by the end of this week is the reserve determinations, because what we need to guard against is a situation where we give a license for absolute use without ensuring that there are reserves that are created for any other eventuality, because we have agreed also with the executive mayor and her team in the city of Cape Town that we will never allow a situation of a total shutdown. And it is precisely because of that that we're committing ourselves that there shall never be a shutdown, as we understand the significance of both the economic as well as the social demand for water. We've issued a directive, Chairperson, through you to the Trans-Caledon Tunnel Authority, which is our own agency in the department, for the implementation of the Cape water supply system augmentation project, which focuses on the Berg fuel flow augmentation scheme, and already work has been initiated. The cost thereof will be to the tune of 550 million for final delivery estimated in the winter of 2019. We see this as also an intervention going beyond a crisis, but taking advantage of a crisis to create reliability going into the future. We have also agreed, Chair, working together with the province as well as the city, that we will invest on the refurbishment and the drilling of additional boreholes. We will be considering desalination, and most importantly also, we will be raising the Glen William Hall, the Glen William Dam Wall. We have had meetings with the provincial minister and the executive mayor, and our view is that as we will be appointing a contractor by the 30th of December, we will make sure that we will put serious conditions that are related even to the construction so that it does not also exploit high levels of water. Going forward, one of the things that is of importance, Chair, with your permission, is the infrastructure and the technical work that has to do with our interventions in the Western Cape, because ours is about water security beyond the challenges of the drought. And it is that that we are already working together with the city on, working together with the provincial government on, in line with the intention to have a national water and sanitation master plan for South Africa, a plan that has never been there. So it is one of those things that have helped us, and these interventions are helping us on how to go about with the development of a water and sanitation master plan for the country. We've also been informed, Chair, through the Office of the President, that the Premier has issued a letter to the Office of the President requesting that the Presidential Coordinating Committee must look at the issues of the drought in the Western Cape. We're looking forward to that discussion because it would also create a platform to discuss the drought in its entirety, and we hope that the disaster management team would be afforded an opportunity for us to look at drought as part of the overall disaster management for South Africa, with the focus in that discussion on the Western Cape. But we do know that three other provinces have also brought these kind of requests. I'm going to ask Trevor then to go quickly on the progress that we have made on those interventions then in 5 minutes. Thanks, Chair.
Complementary, which what Minister has already indicated, and I've lost the cable now. Can someone from your technical side, there we go, yeah, on again. How do I get, I don't see anything on the screen, yeah? Yeah, on this side, yeah. Thanks. Okay, let me just work on the top there. But I think just in terms of context and background, we need to understand that as we manage water in the country and in the Western Cape, managing floods and droughts will be with us forever. We've got to manage the system on the understanding that floods and droughts will be with us, but it's how we manage those going forward. In terms of the areas that have been declared disasters in the province, I'm not going to go through those all of those municipalities, because when the NDMC present, they will give us an update. It's quite dynamic, so declarations are made on a 3-monthly basis and then renewed, so it's quite dynamic. I'm on the next slide already. Just in terms of outlook, we engage with the South African Weather Services, and they, through the NDMC, provide us with a weekly outlook on the weather, and
the presentation that you have gives us the SAWS outlook for the as of the 16th of October, but as of the 23rd when they issued an outlook as well, there's not a great deal of change in terms of a positive outlook for the Western Cape. So with regard to the Western Cape, we lost it totally. Chair, I'm assuming everyone's got the presentation in front of them, so I will carry on the presentation.
Please, you go ahead. We have copies in front of ourselves.
So in terms of the outlook, and you'll get it on pages 5 and 6 of the presentation, or slides 5 and 6, it's highly unlikely that we're going to get any more rain during this season, the winter season, end of the winter season for the Western Cape. So we've got to take our resources, which we have in the system now, and try and get them to last through into the winter of 2018. And that's the critical issue that we've got to deal with. And that's why Minister stressed the issue of water restrictions, because from a water resources point of view, one of our most effective ways of dealing with a contracting supply during drought is around the issue of water restrictions. I'm now going to move on to what I have as slide 8, just to indicate that the department monitors 215 dams. 43 of these are in the Western Cape. Just to put you into the context of the national picture, nationally we're sitting at 64.4% this week, with the Western Cape at a very low average of 35.9, and that's on the 43 dams that we monitor on a weekly basis in the Western Cape. What is quite concerning, however, is that if you look at at where we are nationally, at 64.4%, last year we were at 49%. If you look at the Western Cape, and in particular, it's reversed, where last year we were sitting at 60% in the Western Cape, and we're now only sitting at 35%. So it really is an indication of a declining storage in our dams year on year for the last three odd years. On slide 11, I'm not going to go through the detail there of the impacts of the meteorological drought, hydrological drought, etc. But going on to slide 12, just to confirm at the bottom of the page there that it will take more than one season for our dams to recover. And we've seen that with a bit of rain we had now during this 2017 winter, that there was a slight recovery, but it's not sufficient to bring those dams up to a level where we can gain any comfort. So I do think that the measures that we put in place, if everyone complies with the measures, both those that are put in place in terms of managing the resource and at a local government level, if those are complied with, we will be able to stretch and see ourselves through the winter. There will be some pressure points, but generally speaking, we'll be able to see ourselves through. So one of the things that we look at in terms of drought, and you'll see it coming up under the NDMC as well, is that we do look at the SPI, the Standardized Precipitation Index, and I've got a slide there on page 14, and if you have a look at that, you'll see, and that's the August SPI for the 24-month period, and you'll actually see the areas that are still under stress in the country. Western Cape focused, that very dark brown indicates quite extreme drought yet, that block in the Eastern Cape, which Minister was referring to, and up in the northern KZN. But I will focus very much on the Western Cape. If you look at the next slide, on slide 15, which just shows our national dams that we monitor, the red dots you'll see follow the pattern which you have in the 24-month SPI. So there's a correlation between our current storage and the way the drought is panning out in the country as well. Go to slide, are you going to help me with that presentation just now? Go to slide number 17. And I will just update there, the information that we have there is as at the 16th of October in your presentation. Our dam level results, while the City of Cape Town publish a dashboard for the Western Cape system every Monday, we publish the dam results on a Tuesday on our website. So the figures were published late yesterday for the 23rd, and there's a slight movement upwards. in the dam levels in the Western Cape, but we won't reach, I don't think, 40% by the time we get into the heat of summer. So we're going to have to try and see summer through with 40% storage in our system, and that's going to be our biggest constraint. Our monthly drawdown over the last year has been about 2.3% per month. So if you extrapolate that, you can work out where we're going to be in the middle of winter, just on a straight line basis. And we're going to be, if we don't have early winter rains, we're going to be in a crisis point in winter. Sources are indicating that there might be some promise of rain January, February, March, but we'll see how that pans out. The next slide, which is one I would dearly love to have on the screen to be able to show you, but it's the impact on drought on the water supply. It's a graph colored green, orange, and red. And if you look at the bottom red line, that is where we're tracking at the moment. And you can see that we're way below the average track, which is the which should be on the interface between the green and the orange. And we're way below the what we would like to see. So we're tracking down, and the levels are still falling. I'll show that in the next slide as well, where I showed graphically on a record running back to 1980. Following slide is just some rainfall figures, and you can see that 1718 is the is certainly one of the lowest rainfall records that we've had in the last 95 odd years. So just an indication of where we are. And listening to some of the experts, Chair, who talk around the drought and look back very far into history, they indicate very sadly that the cycle we're in at the moment could extend beyond the 4 years that we've been in it. Though they even talk about historically of every 100 years having a drought which would run into a 10-year period. But we will pray that we don't get into that. The next slide, Chair, is just a depiction of where the state dams are, and you'll see that most of the 43 dams are situated in the Breede and the Gouritz catchments. Those are the 43 dams that we have. Just looking at the tracking of the Berg Olifants catchment, and that's the slide with the with a number of coloured storage tracks on it, and you'll see the red line at the bottom shows our storage at 2015-16 is way below the tracking for the last 7 years. So looking pretty grim, and we need to manage that. And you'll see the same when you look at the Breede Gouritz on the next page, also tracking very low as well. In terms of groundwater resources, as an emergency backup when we run out of surface water, we need to rely a little more more on our groundwater. So in terms of the interventions from the province and also the city of Cape Town, they will be doing some groundwater development. But what we look at in terms of our trends around groundwater is that there's a decline also in groundwater levels of up to about a meter on our monitoring that we look at across the province. And the decline, particularly in the Berg River area, the southernmost part of the Western Cape, and majority of the towns in the Karoo, so Beaufort West and those areas would in particular be negatively impacted by declining groundwater levels as well. There is a slide on page 20 where we just indicate the status of the groundwater, and you can see those areas marked in red are that groundwater decrease where we are greater than 1 meter in terms of a drop in level. But the slide on page 21 does just show you where the blue dots, where there is still potential for those towns for some groundwater development going forward. On slide page 28, Chair, we have worked with the Provincial Disaster Management Centre, and they are accessing or utilising three of the tenders which the department has awarded in terms of hydrological consulting services, the drilling and rehabilitation and test pumping, where they are participating in that tender which was awarded by the department. Is that an open bottle of water? Can I take it from you, if you don't mind? Is it bottled by the city? So, Chair, just coming to the Western Cape system, I think it's one of the biggest and the most important system in the Western Cape. There are 6 dams which we manage in concert, which serves 3.2 million people and generates about 14% of the national GDP. So it's an important system and we need to manage it very, very, very tightly. The key sources of water in that system are the Berg and the Breede rivers, plus additional smaller coastal rivers such as the Eerste, Steenbok and Palmit and the TMG aquifer. The slide on the next page, which will be, and I really am hamstrung, I wish you ever it comes after me luck, on page 31, we just show those dams in relation to the geographical, or as a GIS plot on the within the Western Cape, and on the next page we just show how that is linked together by canals and pipelines. So it's quite a complex, and I call it plumbing. That's quite a bit bigger than the type of plumbing that you would deal with in your household, but very large system of canals, dams, and using the rivers to convey water around and make sure that we even out the flow to balance what we're using. I will, the Cape Town storage system, I've already touched on that, sitting at around about 36%. The next slide, which is the one with the blue descending graph, which would be slide number 33, I think it is. This one here with the blue graph on it, that just indicates the Western Cape supply system since 2012. Now we from 2012 through to 2014, we had reasonable storage, and you saw a dip in the storage in terms of summer and winter decreases in rainfall. But then from 2014 onwards, we've had a steady decline. And we can project that in 17 or 18, 19, we might get below that 60% level that we started with at the beginning of 2016, currently sitting at 38.2%. So quite a worrying aspect. If you look at our monitoring in terms of stochastic analysis that we do on page 35, if you look at the left-hand side of that graph, you'll see at the bottom there a black line which overrides or runs closely to that pink line at the bottom. That black line indicates our actual usage. So the graph is a projection on what we would hope to use, and we try and operate within the 99 percentile of that of the box plot. But you'll see that the black line indicates where we're tracking at the moment. So we're tracking just on the line where we'd in fact expect the restrictions to be. And you can see that earlier on, or at the beginning of the year, that we were tracking outside of that. Moving then on to slide 37. A minister has already touched on the issue of restrictions, but it is one of the most effective ways of dealing with our surface water resources in terms of stretching. And I think the principal issues around both the for water supply from the Clan William Dam and from the Western Cape system is that we are at a heightened level of restrictions, 40% for domestic and 50% for agriculture, and those are quite stringent restrictions to try and comply with. If you look at the level 5 restrictions at the city of Cape Town, those level 5 restrictions are intended to drive us down to what our target is. Our target is 540 megalitres a day. The city of Cape Town are trying to drive it down to 500. They currently, as of earlier this week, we're sitting at 580. And you must bear in mind on our historical work that we've done on the drought in KZN, where we it took us nearly 18 months from the point where we increased restrictions to the point where you actually reach your target. So we're in for a long haul, and it's not going to be an easy task. It's not going to happen overnight, because you're dealing with some couple million people who have different views about the way they want to use water when they're in the privacy of their own homes. So we need, on page 39, robust public awareness, communication and education campaigns. We need to reduce wastage on private properties. We need to focus on municipal distribution infrastructure and leaks. And we need to jointly, department, province, and local government monitor and first force the implementation of the regulations. And I'll get to a slide in a while. I'm not going to touch on the restrictions which are applied by the City of Cape Town, as I'm sure they will talk to their Level 5 restrictions in any event. The next two slides, and I'm coming to the end, Chair, on slides 41 and 42. I'm not going to go to the detail of that, but those slides summarize the work that we've done as a department with the PDMC and local government in the province to try and get a common set of restrictions to be applied across municipalities. So the department did quite a lot of analytical work, came up with a model so that when the City of Cape Town talks of Level 5 restrictions and Saldanha Bay talks of Level 5, we're talking about the same thing. At the moment, what is Level 5 in the City of Cape Town and what Level 5 in another municipality don't necessarily mean the same thing. So the province have gone through a process of promulgating the outcome of this work in terms of a gazette where they are going to impose certain the way the restrictions are applied at a municipal level. And I'm not going to go through the detail, but those two slides just give you, for those of you interested in the science around it, how we work it out. In terms of future augmentation, on slide 44 onwards, the City of Cape Town interventions, Minister has touched on it with regard to tapping into the TMG, the Table Mountain Group Aquifer, seawater desalination, temporary marine water desalination, and water reuse, to try and work towards a 500 megalitre replacement for what we've got at the moment. So as we move through and as supplies diminish, that they are able to bring on alternative supplies to keep that level of 500 megalitres per day. But City of Cape Town, I'm sure, will cover that in greater detail when they talk. Ministers touched on the Berg River augmentation scheme and the fact that we're wanting or working hard to try and get that scheme operational or to deliver its first water in the winter of 2019. And because it's an augmentation project and we're in a winter rainfall season, one wants to try and catch the rainfall that we will get. We will get some rain in 2019 and be able to pump that back into the Fourflay Dam. Chair, the last area of intervention, which will be one that only happens when the system reaches 13%, is the fact that there's a lot of discussion and views around the last 10% in our reservoirs, people saying that it's not available for use. There are some physical constrictions both in the Tierwaterskloof Dam and the Fourflay Dam which will have to be dealt with when we get to that level of 13%, but we've got those contingency measures planned and we're ready to move the water from the main body of the dam into the outlet works when we get to those levels. But we hope that we don't get to those levels, and as a result of the application of restrictions, we're able to keep above that. But we will implement that as and when it's required. On page 48, Chair, I've just given some areas which I asked the question, how do we survive the drought? Technology, yes, can help us, but it's not the only solution. It can't be the only solution around it. We've got to run through issues of aquifer development, desalination, reuse, additional storage, emergency augmentation. So the Water Research Commission have done quite a bit of work around technology options as well. And if you look at some of the work that the City of Cape Town have done, they've been quite innovative in some of the stuff that they've done. So long-term planning, we need to improve monitoring and information management. When we got into managing the drought, and with the colleagues from the PDMC in particular, we found that there's quite a dearth of information which you try and get to help you to make sensible decisions over the next couple of months. So our monitoring and monitoring and information systems going forward, that's metering, gauging stations, remote real-time monitoring systems, are absolutely important to help us to manage as we move forward. Behavior change, absolute issue that needs to be dealt with. When we get into our own homes, we sit in committees, we talk about drought management and restrictions, but when we get into our own homes and no one sees us, we tend to waste water a little bit. And when we go to our friend's house, we make sure we use their toilets, and when we get home, we don't have to use ours. So at the end, the very last slide, Chair, we use their swimming pools as well. Ministers just prompted me instead of using our own. But Chair, excuse me being a bit light-hearted about it, but that is, when you look at some of the trends in the city of Cape Town, they might touch on that as well. The very last slide, Chair, I've used the term which is bandied around quite a bit, the so-called new normal, and I've just indicated a few issues that we need to deal with in terms of that new normal flowing out of a highly variable and naturally scarce water in the country, climate change that we need to deal with. We need to adapt and deal with the consequences of extreme weather events, and we've seen even in the past season where we've had extreme events. I mean, who would have expected 2 weeks ago to have Itekweni flooded the way they were? In May this year, while we were having an indaba around the Western Cape out at Houdini Spa, Richards Bay were clapped with a huge storm, 500 millimeters in 24 hours, and that rain should have been falling in the Western Cape. It was in the wrong place. Climate change stuff we need to deal with. It's a social and economic impact of the restrictions, and we mustn't underplay that, Chair, because as we impose restrictions on agriculture, it's going to have an impact on the value chain from agriculture, it'll impact on job security, and it'll also impact on the agro-processing industry as we move going forward. Point, Chair, that it's cheaper to reduce demand than building new infrastructure, so we manage our infrastructure, get it to work properly, reduce our demand, much cheaper than building new augmentation projects. I mustn't overlook the issue of the work which Deputy Minister steers around the war on leaks in terms of driving down demand as well. And I think, Chair, at a local government level, even though at national, we've got these committees that do the coordination, I think at local government one needs more some standing committees to deal with the new normal. We tend to have jocks in place when the disasters are declared, and those jocks operate for that 3 month period when everyone is excited and pumped up, but you don't have standing committees in place to manage the vagaries of decreasing water supply going forward. Chair, thank you very much.
Mr. Van Rooyen.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Also, a word of thanks to my colleague, Minister Mkonyana, and Trevor for a very explicit and unambiguous presentation around the work that the ministry and the department is currently doing to deal with this problem engulfing our country. Chairperson, maybe before I get to what you requested us to do in your invitation, allow me firstly to really appreciate this opportunity. And I think any opportunity that is intended to assist us with dealing with one of unprecedented challenge to engulf our country should be welcomed. And I must indicate, Chair, we are all aware that this is an unprecedented challenge. Our country for the past 3 years has been going through this unfortunate experience of drought. But also, what is quite encouraging about this arrangement is the fact that there might be positive developments that have been experienced by our country in the recent past. But the unfortunate part of our situation is that currently as we speak, albeit we are dealing with a national problem, the problem is more persistent in the Western Cape. Now, it's quite encouraging that we are gathered here today as a national department, I mean, to give an account on how we deal with this challenge in the country, but more specifically as requested by the leadership of the Western Cape through your leadership, Chairperson, to outline our short and long-term intervention measures and strategy in dealing with the situation here in this province. But also I know in your invitation, Chair, you also wanted to hear from us on the dispersal of relief funding to the Western Cape. Now, Chairperson, before we get to the details of the presentation, allow me to make the following point. Albeit the committee decided to invite us as individual ministries and sector departments, it's important to note that out of a clear understanding of how severe is this problem that we're encountering as a country, but also understanding the need to collaboratively respond to this challenge, His Excellency the President of the Republic, President Jacob Zuma, under his capable leadership, decided to establish what we term the Interministerial Task Team on Drought. And the specific mandate of this team is to focus on all areas in our beloved country affected by the scourge of drought. Now it's important to indicate, Chair, that it's not only water and sanitation as sectors that are part of this interministerial task team. We also have agriculture, fishery and forestry as part of this team. Because as you are all aware, drought has an adverse and negative impact on the agricultural sector. But drought has also negative effect on our environment. So the Department of Environment is also part of this team. So it was going to be extremely helpful to have the invitation that will dictate that we present our approach as part of this interministerial task team. But nevertheless, Chair, I think we will try our level best in the coming presentation to cover strategies and intervention measures as done by other sector departments who form part of this interministerial task team. And I must also indicate, Chairperson, that through the concerted effort of the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, we have brought in Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency and of course another entity falling directly under our ambit, the National Disaster Management Center, to support all provinces affected by drought. And And this team has been meeting to assess the state of drought in the country, but also to determine the necessary interventions by each sector department. And our approaches and intervention measures are also discussed in our MINMEC as well as Presidential Coordinating Council. And I must indicate through our coordinated efforts of various sector departments, we have responded to various disaster situations in the Western Cape province, including the recent fire disaster. Chair, we were able to respond promptly to the effects of the disaster and all other disaster incidents that happened in the Western Cape, but in our country because of our collaborative approach to disaster-related issues. The Interministerial Task Team inter alia has also tasked the National Joint Disaster Committee to assess all climate change issues, including the hazards associated with climate change, so as to enable the country to plan and activate emergency response systems. We have also put in place a national communication strategy to create awareness among communities on the impact of drought and to encourage communities to use water responsibly. Now the presentation today, Chair, as earlier indicated, will focus on the progress that we have made, but also it will be important for us to share with yourselves as leaders the challenges that we think remain to be addressed. Now to take us through the presentation, I'm going to call upon Dr. Maphaka Tau, who is the head of our National Disaster Management Center, to take us through the presentation as expected by the committee under your leadership, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ministers, members of the Joint Portfolio Committee, Deputy Minister in attendance, councillors, DGs, and colleagues. The presentation will cover the issues as they reflect on the screen. As it has been indicated by the Minister, and it has also come out from the presentation by the Department of Water and Sanitation, we reflect on the coordination role which COCTA plays in line with the provisions of the Disaster Management Act. The Minister has already summarized the points to be covered by the presentation. I will move to the next slide, which deals with the overview of drought situation in the country. In terms of this slide, the message being conveyed is that although the country received summer rainfalls, the drought conditions in the Western Cape still persist. And that the country generally also is not out of the woods in terms of the drought situation.
It further, on point four, states that for the Western Cape, the concerning factor is that the province is moving out of the rain season. It also states that the Northern Cape and Eastern Cape provinces are also affected, and we are monitoring the situation in those provinces. From the South African Weather Service, we received inputs in terms of the weather forecast or the rainfall forecast for the months until June next year. The top graph indicates that there has been a drastic change in the expected El Nino Southern Oscillation, and that the current predictions indicate a high likelihood for weak La Nina to develop during the early and mid-summer months. This means that, as you can see the underlying part, honourable members, the summer rainfall areas can expect above normal rainfall during this period. In this slide, it's just an indication of the forecast as it has already been presented in the previous slide, so I won't go into detail in that. This slide also shows, based on the probability of precipitation, it shows that provinces such as KZN, Northeastern Free State, Gauteng and Mpumalanga are identified as being well favored for falls exceeding 50 millimeter in the period ending 30 October. Then I move to slide 8. In slide 8, it states that there is a short term, in the short term, there appears to be an enhanced chance of relatively significant rainfall, basically emphasizing what has already been presented in the previous slide. And then the last bullet on slide 8 just emphasized the reality about the province, to say the situation in the province is compounded by the fact that the winter rainfall season has drawn to an end. I'm on slide 8. Oh, sorry, I haven't moved. On slide 9, it is a recommendation to say, in slide 9 is a recommendation based on the forecast to say it is recommended that the current drought risk reduction measures should be put in place and intensified, and that precautionary measures are advised for summer rainfall areas in the event of an El Nino event manifesting. The last bullet also states that it is important to plan for multi-hazard scenarios, because a heavy downpour can result with flooding, can result with the outbreak of diseases and so on and so forth. So our plans are always geared towards responding to various hazard scenarios. This slide has already been reflected in the presentation by a colleague from Water and Sanitation. It basically just shows this tool for monitoring drought using rainfall stations. Given the looking at the certain time scales. So I think the message that comes is what is depicted through this slide can be a cause and an effect. In that where it is dry and there's no vegetation, when you get rain, seepage or infiltration
is not sufficient. As a result, you are not able to capture water even for groundwater recharge. But also it shows the impact that drought is having on vegetation in the country. This slide also shows the vegetation conditions. You can see the areas where the vegetation seems to be very low. The color coding shows areas that are in the red. It's also an indication of the impact that drought is having and how heavy rainfalls can also affect the areas in terms of erosion and the risk of flooding. In this slide, honorable members, a presentation has been done and an explanation has been made clearly. I will not go into it, including the one about dam levels. This one was also covered. I will then move to the slide dealing with interventions. It has already been presented that a water indaba was held and important decisions were made, and this just summarized those decisions. In this slide, we are just now presenting what measures has the NDMC been putting in place directly. Members will recall that a declaration of a provincial state of disaster was made, but after the declaration was made, other municipalities declared local states, which required that we make a follow-up. And those municipalities are Drakenstein, Stellenbosch, Langenberg, Swartland, Cederberg, and Madzigama. As a result, the National Disaster Management Center and the Provincial Disaster Management Center conducted an assessment from the 18th to the 20th of October. And now the due process of ensuring that these municipalities are supported. It's been followed by ensuring that we receive a report that will inform the request for funding for emergency relief. It has already been indicated, honorable members, that this work happens under the leadership of the Interministerial Task Team, and that under the Interministerial Task Team, the National Joint Drought Coordinating Committee meets on a monthly basis. And decisions that are made or recommendations that are made there is to have funds reprioritized for purpose of dealing with the drought situations. We also want to put it on record that significant contributions were made by relevant organizations, including civil society and the private sector, to respond to the immediate needs of communities. And that the Department of Cooperative Governance, through the municipal infrastructure grant and the municipal infrastructure support agent, continues to provide technical support and monitoring of projects being implemented. Next slide, which is slide 21. During the financial year 2016-17, this National Joint Drought Coordinating Committee facilitated and coordinated implementation of the following short-term intervention measures during the drought situation. Those are the drilling and equipping of boreholes, re-equipping and refurbishing of boreholes, implementation of water restrictions, issuing of directives, and continuous awareness on water conservation measures. It should be stated that these are the measures that are being implemented by various sectors that report to the NDMC, and the detail has been captured in the presentation by Water and Sanitation and the subsequent presentations that members will be receiving. In this slide, it's just to say that an amount was allocated, which is about 553 million during this period, 2016-17, for provision of feed within agriculture, and about 341 million allocated to water and sanitation for water-related projects. On slide 23, members, it depicts how that money was spent for water and sanitation projects. In KwaZulu-Natal, it was used for mobile desalination package plant, where an amount of 290.7 million was spent. Eastern Cape, water tankering and storage to that amount. And of note is that the Department of Water and Sanitation also used its available, its own funding to augment the allocation. And that all these provincial allocations were done by Water and Sanitation, and the expenditure on water tankering and storage exceeded the allocation of 50.6 million, which had to be augmented by Water and Sanitation. In this slide, honorable members, our colleagues from agriculture will be, agriculture, forestry and fisheries will be presenting on the spending of the 212 million. So I will also leave it for them to cover. Now, in slide 25, we report on long-term drought interventions measures that are being implemented, and we specifically want to state that this is a multidisciplinary approach. Note should be taken that the long-term drought interventions and strategies are to be led by each organ of state. That means each organ of state has the responsibility to take ownership of implementing measures, and that the Department of Cooperative Governance, the Municipal Infrastructure Grant, Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, and the NDMC and Back to Basics program would provide support, as Minister has already indicated. And the following interventions are being implemented. The water harvesting measures, preservation and rehabilitation and protection of ecological infrastructure, eradication of illegal water use, desilting of dams and canals where feasible. In this slide is a continuation of those measures, and they have also been covered in the previous presentation. Equally with respect to slide 27, and then I move now to slide 28. This is with respect to the Western Cape, that the following strategies are being put in place to address water scarcity, which is implementation of bylaws. But because there will be a presentation on this, I request members that I don't go into further elaboration on this slide and move to slide 29. In slide 29, it has been indicated that the minister has announced the allocation of 74.8 million, which was acquired through National Treasury to provide assistance in the Western Cape province. A total of 40 million of that was allocated for agriculture, and it should be noted that as of 15 August, before this amount was allocated, about 59 million was already spent by the province for the provision of animal feed, assisting 4,156 farmers, as it is shown there. And then this is a further unpacking of that allocation, that 40 million went for agriculture, about 34.8 million went for water-related projects. The first is the, more slide 30, is the City of Cape Town for drilling of boreholes and installation of water pumps to the tune of 20.8 million. For Bido, drilling of boreholes and installation of water pumps, and Duivaterstloof, 3.1 million for drilling of boreholes and installation of pumps. Next slide, it just indicates the amount that went to agriculture. But the point to note, honorable members, is that this amount has to be spent ideally within a period of 3 months to provide emergency relief. Next slide is slide 32. That in terms of spending, the Tweewaterskloof municipality indicated that all projects have commenced and no invoice paid thus far. Hence, no expenditure has been recorded. With regard to Bido, an amount of 1.17 million has been spent thus far out of 10 million. And we can see what has been procured there. Control panels, drilling of borehole, pumps, and surveying of areas to, for borehole drilling. We are yet to receive a report from the City of Cape Town on the drilling of boreholes. And the expenditure on agriculture is also still awaited. And we are following up and working closely with the province in that regard. On slide 33, it's about the communication and information management. Minister has indicated that the communication strategy has been adopted by the IMTT. We want to report, honourable members, that communicators continue to coordinate key messages from all sectors to ensure that they are coordinated from one platform. And that the NDMC, through the Joint Drought Coordinating Committee, continues to monitor the situation on the ground, and that we work closely with the South African Weather Service that provides us updates on weather information in order to release
round up.
Okay. Yes, thank you. I think in conclusion, the Minister has already covered this slide 34. I will not go into that, as well as slide 36. Let me conclude with slide 37, which presents the recommendations that the Joint Portfolio Committee should note the report on short and long-term interventions, provide support in upscaling risk reduction measures, provide political support in ensuring prioritization of funds for risk reduction measures. Also from a sector mainstreaming point of view, encourage integration and coordination by relevant sectors, and encourage water service authorities to implement bulk water supply projects, and also assist in sustaining momentum on stringent measures for restrictions, and finally encourage municipalities to enforce bylaws. That is the end of the presentation. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Baya danki, Voorzitter. I mean, that's all what we have from our side. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We certainly shall have to allow the National Department of Agriculture, if any specific areas for... Are they here?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Ministers, Honorable Deputy Minister, honorable members of the joint sitting here today, DGs and my colleagues, the Department of Agriculture would make a presentation that sketches our contributions in terms of drought interventions that we have had for the 2015-16 financial year, and also what we are doing currently in terms of the drought that we are experiencing in the Western Cape. The current interventions are made with a clear understanding, Chairperson.
Just a small point of order. I thought that the department would start with an apology for the minister. Because all the ministers are here, and it's only agriculture that the minister is not here. But it's important to do that so that it's recorded properly.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And the issue that has been raised in terms of the minister not being here, we take that, Honourable Member, to indicate that Minister is currently engaged in terms of presentations that we have got to make to NEDLAC regarding a few issues, and Minister cannot be here. The Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries will make a presentation regarding the drought interventions as indicated. We are making this presentation with a clear indication that we are in a bittersweet environment where we have had a bumper crop that is predicted for this year for the summer rainfall areas. But we also note the current drought that we are experiencing in the Western Cape and also Eastern Cape and parts of the Northern Cape. We will give a brief overview in terms of our interventions as a department, as part of the interministerial on drought, and also as a department that has got provincial links that are dealing with drought. In terms of the presentation, we have got Dr. Khakansi, who is responsible for the unit that deals with disaster management within the department, to make that presentation, Chair. And with your permission, I would give over to Dr. Khakansi to give the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson, Morning Ministers, Deputy Minister, Portfolio Committee members and colleagues. Chairperson, the presentation that has already been made by my colleagues is also contained in what I will be presenting, but because when we're drafting the COCTA presentation, we forwarded our input, so there will be some points that I will have to jump because they have already presented the background, including the signal forecasting. Maybe I can just maybe go to slide number 11, even if it's also being presented. Chairperson, this is the slide, as my colleague has already presented, that the provincial department for The sugar crop production is not really showing a good sign at the moment. The area of Southland, the eastern part of Southland is also shows that below normal rain, normal crops will be expected. Areas over the overbed, there is a chance of having food crop as we have committed to the overbed. But the livestock production in general is still under stress because of continuous and dry situations from the previous years. Poor soil conditions has resulted in poor rainfall throughout the provinces. And as colleagues have already mentioned, that the average depth has increased with over this area 36 compared to the last year. These are our future plans. That we intend really to strengthen our cooperation and emphasize the implementation of the Reserve Management Act, including our conservation of Alberta Resources Act. Provinces, including national and local governments, are planning and currently working on to make sure that we are ready to implement Northern Cape and Western Cape, the FIA, and others are coming up with their plans to make sure that the Reserve Management Act is ready to really emphasize. Another point Chairperson is emphasizing is that we need to strengthen our integrated capacity. These are some of the lessons that we have learned when implementing this, that more institutional capacity need to be strengthened throughout until down to one municipality level. The awareness preparedness has already been raised. This is the issue that we need to be focusing. There is currently work done by ARC, Western Cape, and Gauteng, especially in improving the fauna, and we are thinking that this is another way of strategy that can be taken by other provinces to bring the different fauna to be utilized. With the way forward, Chairperson, in the department, we will continue strengthening our early warning as we are currently doing, ensuring that all the risk are able to, all the farming communities that are at risk are receiving the warning messages. I know currently we are doing that, but to the issues of languages that need to be improved on the ground to be able to reach the community so that they can respond quickly as possible. Our research project currently handled by the ARC on crop suitability to make sure that when in future we are affected by some of the disaster like drought, suitable cultivars can be utilized where the weather condition really is suitable for those areas. There are biogas projects that we are currently rolling out the provinces, especially when we are addressing the adaptation for climate change. We need also to increase the investment in the land rehabilitation, because when you look out throughout the country, the land is degraded. So that's another thing, and improve on field management, and that's why we're working with the ARC to make sure that this really will be achieved. That's just what you have said, but one of the things that we need to also emphasize is the introduction of the risk insurance. We are currently having discussion with the National Treasury and other departments to make sure that this really has been taken up. So we are still discussing all those other issues with the insurance industry to see how good it can be worked out. But good farming practices, this is exactly what we really need to make sure that we succeed in future. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you. That shall then conclude all the national departments' inputs on matters at hand. I would really wish us that we go through straight to the Western Cape and the Cape Town presentation so that we have one set of discussion. Otherwise, we might just be going and coming at the same time. Without waste of time, I see all the nodding heads, which attest to that we go forward. Mr. Breda, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honourable Ministers, Honourable Chairperson, and Honourable Members. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm just going to give a couple of pointers from my perspective. When we talk water, we must always realize that we talk jobs, we talk food security, we talk health. It's a whole range of issues that we will touch when we talk on water and water security. Now, in the Western Cape, we do have a water plan. The plan was based on normal and national
signed also off on the plan, but that plan was always based on normal rainfall. Never predicted a three-year drought scenario where we're currently in. I also think that we need to acknowledge that the current drought is not unique to the Western Cape. Worldwide, there's 120 cities struggling to find solutions for the same risk that we're busy trying to overcome. So climate change is real, and we need to accept that and need to convey that message. Then also, Honourable Chairperson, we need to realise that water is everybody's business. I really want to thank you as the Chairperson and the Standing Committee for getting us all in one room, because I think we all, as we listen to the ministers today and the presenters, that we will realise that water is above politics. Water speaks to dignity, it speaks to the Bill of Rights in the Constitution, and we need to adhere to that promises within our Constitution. Now, lastly, from my side, I really think that, for me, a day like today, we need to talk to how do we prevent day zero. And for me, it stands on two legs, the reduction side, and when I talk to reduce water demand, I need immediately to thank the print media, the radios, the public, for working with us, conveying the message and working with government to reduce their consumption. And that will be an ongoing process. I think for us as politicians, for you as the Standing Committee, what is very important that we talk to the production side. How do we get more water in the system? And why don't we get more water in the system? And obviously we will then need to touch on desalination, why expensive water via this and no water. Will desalination, is it really expensive, or is it because we currently try to pay back our capital investment within 3 to 5 years? If we extend that to a 10-year, to a 20-year period, won't that make water, desalination water, affordable on a large scale? I personally think it will, and we need to talk to Treasury to get and to push that agenda. I also think that, by ending off, just that it will be very important that each sphere of government take responsibility, their constitutional mandate, and fulfill that. And working together, I'm very positive that we will prevent day zero and that we will provide enough quality and quantity water so that we can grow the economy. And with that, Chairperson, I'm then going to hand over to Mr. Graham Paulser, and I'm going to ask him to flag a couple of slides from the provincial perspective. I thank you.
Minister, thank you, Chairperson, Ministers, Deputy Minister, Members, colleagues. I'm going to flag the presentation with your acquiescence and then choose to maybe just pause at one or two slides just to provide context. I think climate change, I think many has actually referred to it, previous presenters, just one or two sort of notes on this slide. Increasing frequent and severe weather events. We have now found in this province, in its first time in its history, that we have three declared disasters. That was the Cape storms, the fires in Isla, as well as the drought, and we see that increasingly happened. Scientists predict and estimate that by 2050, rainfall in the Western Cape is likely to have been reduced by 30%. So that's just sort of the effects of the climate change, particularly in the province. The unique situation in the Western Cape is that we get 90% of our rainfall in the winter season, and the demand is about 25%. 10% of the rainfall is in the summer season, of which the demand is 75%, and it just implies that we have to store our winter, our rainfall, particularly in the winter rainfall season. That is just, and I think this slide was also presented this morning. You can see 2014, that's the higher sort of line going up, and gradually over the past years, the rainfall has actually been reduced. For the pink line of 2015, 16 is the dark red, and the lighter red is obviously 17. You can see actually the rainfall over the last couple of years have been significantly reduced. Just to show, at October 2015, the Vredendal area in the Matsikama area was the hottest place or the warmest place on earth at almost 50 degrees. So you can see how the weather patterns are changing, both in terms of the precipitation as well as the temperature. With the result also in the heart of winter, around about the 7th and 11th of June this year, we had significant fires, temperatures in the region of about 30 degrees in the Eden area, and as a result we had sort of the Niza fires that devastated the Eden area. That's a dam level, so I'm not going to talk to that. I think it has been flighted previously, the capacity of the current dams, the storage, and that is just a picture of the Tiwatas Kloof Dam at the levels as it was at the 24th of May this year. What is the impact? I think there's significant impact, particularly on domestic users. We see that, for example, in the city of Cape Town, at the 7 litres, 20 sort of kiloliters per month, you see reduced water pressure, water rationing, and particularly in high-rising buildings and also residents that are being elevated, that is impacts actually on the water pressure. So in private residents there should be booster pumps, and in high buildings there should be booster pumps just to get the water up to the higher floors and so on. See, increase in water tariffs, punitive water tariffs, as people use more and more, and the water decrease, and also the fines, disruptions in water services to consumers. Fundamentally is that consumers now need to begin to change their behavior. In other words, they need to demand less water and be more sparingly with water. Just the impact on agriculture is significant, as you can see. In Sierras, 50% less onions have been planted and 80% less potatoes have been planted. That as a direct result of the water shortages in that area, with the estimated loss of about 40 million in wages of agri workers. Significant. That the factory in Lutzel that purify, that makes puree out of tomatoes, has actually closed for the season. So provisionally, the workers in that area have been laid off, and you see that that particular factory in Lutzel will not open. The deciduous fruit, 20% smaller crop expected, with smaller fruit resulting in the reduction of the reduction in farm income. Last year, the same thing has happened. Smaller, although the tonnage was more or less the same, the size of the fruit was less. And it actually resulted in about 750 million losses for. What is currently happening in the agriculture environment is that the farmers are actually removing the flowers from the fruit trees so that they don't actually bear fruit, because it's not actually water. They're taking out the old orchards to limit the use of water. And what also they're cutting back on about 30% on the citrus fruit trees. So there are significant things that are happening, which farmers actually are doing just to reduce the water usage on farms. The wine industry, farmers have ordered, and this you order normally in advance a couple of years, the young vines. They've cancelled that now because they can't plant it. They've actually can't cancel it, and they're asking the producers to keep it in the cold storage and so on. A 5% reduction in the vine production is equivalent to 175 million at the farm gates. With the value chain is about 525. So the drought is actually impacting significantly on agriculture, and what farmers are doing now is they're only watering the producing vines, and they're leaving the ones that are actually not producing it. In terms of the grain, they're not going to harvest this year because of the size of the crop. What they're actually doing, they're chasing the livestock into the fields to graze, so that there is actually grazing for the farms, and for the animals, the livestock. And what you see that the production in terms of tonnage is going to be on average lower than previous. Livestock, as I say, desperate. Fodder for the animals. What certain farmers are doing, they're actually slaughtering some of the cattle, some of the livestock, if they can't get rid of it, sell it on the market. Social welfare, the impact significant. It's estimated that there will be agricultural job losses in the region of about 50,000, and that will have a significant impact. It implies that there will be social humanitarian relief for those actually workers that have no longer work or actually laid off. And that is sort of the need, the social relief that's required. Just in response, the Department of Agriculture in the province has reprioritized their own budget. They've provided so in the region of about 67 million. There was additional funding from the COSP donation, and what they are doing now is they are assisting farmers to provide fodder for the animals on a limited basis. The Department of obviously Agriculture, Fisheries and Forests has also added a 40 million in that regard. This has just been a brief sort of research indicated as the if there's a cut or cap of 60%, what is the impact of that? And the argument is about 37% of the production of the original 100%, and you will find that the contribution to the GBA will decline in the province. With the result, it says some farmers' operations are likely to go bankrupt as a result of the reduction in 60%. A contributing factor is the avian flu, and some say it's contributed by the drought. Scientists say that when it rains, it actually deals with the bacteria and the sort of the kind of sickness that is prevalent. And the avian flu is prevalent now in the province in excess of 2.7 million birds culled or actually killed, and it has a significant impact also on the farmers. Over 1,000 workers are affected by the avian flu. Just on the impact on the business, in Saldanha Bay you can see there's a risk that two canning factories in Saldanha Bay will close given the uncertainty around the water supply. Saldanha Bay municipality is struggling to augment the water. This will most probably lead to about between 4,000 and 6,000 direct and indirect job losses. The smelter is at the risk of closing and losing about 2,000 direct job losses. Obviously, sewing pools, you see, there's a scale down in terms of the companies. Companies are closing down, nurseries, car washes, and also the construction industry, given the fact that they use water for construction. And just to indicate to you, the roadworks on the national road, the N1, where they construct in terms of the roads, use on average about 2 million litres a day. So it impacts the availability of the water. Those are some of the concerning messages. I think businesses are doing everything in their power. They're stocking up. They're trying to stock up water in the event that we do run out of water. So there's a lot of initiatives by business just to secure some kind of water. Just a coordinated response in the province. There's a detailed structure, both on a technical, strategic, as well as the political level that deals with the drought response in the province. What we've done is, through the Disaster Management Center, estimated 5.4 billion as a risk register in relation to infrastructure relating to water infrastructure in the province, and that's a moving target. Started originally out by 4 billion, now 5.4 billion. People are saying it's in a region of between 6 and 7 billion, but that is a combination of water infrastructure and the challenges around water augmentation for water. Obviously, the entire province is declared as a provincial state of disaster. As our previous presenters alluded to, we are in the process of getting standardized water restrictions in place, and that process is ongoing. Trevor Balzer has indicated to this by means of the national tender. We've appointed geohydrologists in each of the districts just to assist municipalities, to assist with the groundwater exploration, and they are working currently in the various districts. We've categorized municipalities. We sent all our engineers and our project managers and most of the staff relating to infrastructure in all the municipalities and said, get us the facts of what's happening in each of the municipalities. This is how municipalities have been categorized. You see in the second phase, medium risk, that the red ones, they're making use of the same water scheme as the city of Cape Town, and for that reason they are red. And just to flight this, Beaufortwest is fundamentally dependent on boreholes. They've got about 29 boreholes. We are funding 3 additional boreholes, and that is coming online in due course. There's additional 5 boreholes, and the National Disaster Management Center has been there to assist a funding request of 23 million. Just to put a pipeline to the treatment works, that has been declined, and we're looking at different options to see how do we help Beaufortwest so that in the summer season, in the peak season, they do not run out of water. The dam currently is empty, and that is just a picture of the dam. What they've done is they put a manual pump at the bottom to get the last water out because they can't get the water in the sluice, but that dam is now also empty. They're reliant on boreholes, they're reliant on their reclamation plant where they actually clean up recycled water and they're putting it back into the system. But they require additional assistance just to ensure that we are bringing the additional boreholes online. Kanala, dependent on about 9 boreholes, they require additional boreholes. At the time when we did the assessment, the two dams were empty. And that is just a picture of the dam. The subsequent rain has actually resulted that there's some water for a couple of days in the dam, but Canalans is also severely stressed, and we have provided additional funding, but we're trying to assist them, particularly so during the peak season, summer season. Nyasa, there is the Akkerkloof Dam. That's where they actually get water from. They get it from the river to the purification works, but the excess water they pump in here for the demand. And there's what we call a Charlesford scheme, and that is currently being assessed by the National Disaster Management Center. There's additional funding that they require to increase the pumping facility, to increase the pipes, so that they get more water into the purification work, but that they can also store additional water in that dam. That's your Bito municipality. We've given money. They with boreholes. The fact of the matter, given the low levels in the river, what they need to do is the abstraction point, they must push up further in the river as the river reduces its flow. But we have given money, and they are also looking at desalination, but also at additional boreholes. Funding implications, the provincial government in the Western Cape has prioritized about 75 million, and for this reason to deal with the 3 disasters, the fire in Nyasa, the Cape storms, as well as the drought, and out of own funding, the provincial government has prioritized and allocated these to municipalities, but also spent by provincial departments. The Department of Local Government in the province has prioritized of its own budget, 26 million, just to help municipalities to get additional boreholes and to augment water in those different municipalities. We've also funded the appointment of the geohydrologists in all the districts. This is Minister Van Rooyen has given the province this money, the 74 million. Thank you, Minister Van Rooyen. It has assisted the province definitely. However, there's still a shortfall. We've asked municipalities to reprioritize their own budgets. They must reprioritize their own budgets as a point, and they've begun to do so. So they will go through an adjustment process in due course, and we are monitoring that. So if you look at this graph, Honorable Chairperson and Ministers, Members, you will see there's a shortfall about just over a half a billion, just to help municipalities to augment their water resources, water. What we've done is I've only flighted the 4 high-risk municipalities, but for each of the balance of the municipalities, we also have the detail and the plans in relation to that. The additional amount that we require, there's a provisional estimate, and that is a moving target in the province itself for the provincial departments as how we wish to deal with it. There's a request for additional 114 million just to help the municipalities. Minister Mokonyana has referred to this engagement with her between Minister Pradal as well as the Mayor DeLow, and these were some of the outcomes of that. I'm not going to repeat it. But it is about the Green Climate Fund, just to support the city of Cape Town with the application. And then the Brandvlei Dam, if that canal is being actually raised by 30 centimeters at the cost of 15 million, what we are saying is actually it can irrigate about additional 4,400 hectares with a 2.2 billion investment, but creating 8,000 jobs. So at the cost of 15 million, you can actually make a huge investment in that area. Then also the raising of the Clan William Dam, the catchment areas, appointment of EPWP workers with the alien vegetation clearing, but also water security. Minister Mokonyana has made reference to the water use license applications and the processing of the balance, and that's just the review. That is just an indication of that Brandvlei Dam project. And if we spend 15 million, we can actually get an investment of 2.2. We also have a 10-point communication plan in the province. What we've done in the department is actually we sent all our communication officials out to municipalities with awareness-raising campaigns. And you can see, particularly in Beaufort West, it actually reduced the demand. We want to change the behavior of citizens in those particular municipalities. We've also developed what we call a business continuity plan in the province. In the event that we're running out of water, what is our plan? Where is the staff going of the provincial departments, of the national departments? Do they work from home? Who is the essential services and so on? And we have categorized that. Chairperson, just in conclusion, again, the climate change is the issue in the province with the result that, as I indicated, below average rainfall with the expected 30% reduction by 2050. Drought conditions are actually contributing to the fires. And we had a recent fire about 2 weeks ago in the 12 Apostles in the Table Mountain. Last year we had a region of 17,000 fires in the province. It's estimated that we will increase, particularly so the fires in the province and so on. And in due course we will actually unveil our summer season preparedness fire plan in the province. The impact on the economy is huge. There's a reduced investment in the province, reduced our business confidence, significant job losses, and our contribution to the GDP is actually reducing. So the impact particularly on the economy and agriculture is worse than for the domestic users in the province. We expect social instability and unrest. Safety and security is an issue, definitely. Given the fact that you're going to have a problem with water shortages, most probably with food security, and you will see that there will be a risk around safety and security, and we're keeping that into account. Reprioritization of our own funding, we've done so extensively. All the savings that we could use in all the provincial departments directly affected by the drought, we have prioritized. We asked for the Provisional Treasury additional funding. They've given us the 75 million. We are asking now more money because we are seeing that we are not going to make it if we do not have the necessary funding. My colleague has informed me that in the allocation letter for this province from the National Minister of Finance, it's the first time in 15 years that this province will not get the additional cent in the adjustment budget. So the province is actually left to its own devices to see how to prioritize, but we've done so extensively. And we do not have any additional funding, so we would rely on the national counterparts to see where they can assist us in this regard. Impact on the provincial government deliverables and programs, as well as the national departments, we see that the roads, that particular Department of Transport and Public Works must actually now construct is under threat because of the water. There is not water, to construct, and you can't use potable water to construct these roads. The same with the building and the construction of schools, hospitals, and those are in the plans. This cannot continue. With the result that is impacting on the normal and the general service delivery within the province. It affecting most of our department's APP deliverables. That we've undertaken to do in our annual performance plan are now at risk because we are reprioritizing funding away from that to deal with the water crisis in the province. The same with national departments in the province. They're doing likewise, and that is a risk. Chairperson, just preparing for day zero. We are now going to activate the Provincial Disaster Management Center on a limited scale to help us plan with day zero. As the Minister has indicated, we don't foresee that happening, but in any event, we must prepare in the case that it will happen. So although we're going to prepare and put the plans on table, we don't have the funding to get tankers, to get water, and to augment that. We don't have the funding. We can plan, but we don't have the funding in the case that Beaufort West Municipality or Cunningham Municipality run out of water. We do not have the money to get tankers and to get water from somewhere. But nonetheless, we are doing it. Just in conclusion, Honourable Chairperson, those are the recommendations just for the Portfolio Committee to note the contents of the presentation on the severe water crisis, as well as the outcomes with Minister Mokanihana in relation to the assistance, and also the significant impact on agriculture and the economy, the impact on the national provincial government in the deliverables, and also the provincial government deliverables and programs, and the funding deficit and requirements, for example, around water augmentation initiatives in municipalities, but also in particular preparing for day zero. Chairperson, thank you very much.
It was a very precise submission straight to where the issue is. We want money. Okay, Cape Town, you want to make any comments, Minister MEC? Okay, Cape Town, Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. We do have a presentation. And my colleagues that are joining me today will speak to different components of it. But I think all the speakers thus far has illustrated the scale of the drought and how it's impacted different parts of South Africa. And so the city's presentation today is really to demonstrate how we've responded to the drought. It is an unprecedented drought, the worst in over a century. And so our approach is essentially twofold, Chairperson. Firstly, we have indicated the city's response, and essentially the city is focused and committed to supplying, augmenting, and managing different drought interventions. That includes diversifying our water supply, bringing online additional 500 million meters of potable water through non-surface water solutions, and obviously preparing for any contingency and emergency measures through our disaster risk management plan, which we will take you through, so that we can be prepared for a worst case scenario. As a responsible government, we obviously have to prepare for all and any eventualities. But in addition to that, it also entails continuing to take our citizens along with us through this journey of adaptation and ensuring that key messaging is distributed at all times to ensure that there is joint partnership. And the second part of our strategy includes harnessing the support and network of our citizens and key sectors within our city. And so we are obviously encouraging that our citizens do everything possible to reduce overall consumption, to reach that 500 million meter consumption target which the city has set. That target is a little bit more progressive than the targets that National Department of Water and Sanitation have set us. And so we are well on our way to achieving those targets, but a lot more needs to still be done. And we're obviously also preparing our key sectors to be able to effectively work alongside us when we do implement the necessary emergency and disaster risk management contingency plans. And we're obviously strongly advocating that there is a balance. We understand that we need to do all that we can to minimize the impact of the drought, but we want to do so in a way that minimizes the impact on our economy, and so we're working very strongly and effectively with key sectors to ensure that we assist them and provide them with the necessary tools to be able to continue their business, but to do so in a water-efficient way and to maximize all saving efforts. So we'll take you through some of the detail of this two-folded approach in our presentation, and I will now hand over to Gareth Morgan, who is the Director for Water Resilience, because I think the key message here is that this two-pronged approach is about ensuring we can build resilience within our system and that we, at the end of it, become a far more water-sensitive and water-secure city going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor. Good morning once again, Chairperson. Good morning, Ministers. Good morning, Honourable Members. We're going to divide this presentation, Chairperson, up between a few of us. I'll run the slides from here. But both my colleagues, Peter Flower, Director Water, will concentrate on augmentation and rationing initiatives, and my colleague Zolile Basholo will talk about water conservation and demand management efforts as we attempt to reach 500 megalitres a day. I'll do some context and overview and some of the scenarios to start off with. Every Monday, as Mr. Belzer said earlier, the City of Cape Town publishes its water dashboard. It's normally published by about midday. It is a very useful document that includes information on the high-level overview, the behavior of the dams, broken down into individual dams. So this is the dashboard as of this week. So for the Western Cape Water Supply System, 38.5 total storage, slight increase for the last week, and importantly on the right, the average daily consumption for the previous 7 days, which is 585 megalitres a day, which is by far the lowest it has been this entire year. At the start of the year, we were on approximately 1,100 megalitres a day, now 585, pushing down further towards the goal of 500 megalitres. This slide was used in the previous presentation. It's important to point out that this is only a particular site. Rainfall is measured at a number of sites around the province, and there are variations, but the point of the slide is purely to show that the drought is extreme and that 3 years of particularly low rainfall, significantly below the median, has put the system under significant stress. This is the behavior of the dam system, the Western Cape Water Supply System, over the most recent years. You'll see that in 2014, the rainy season was concluded with the dams at capacity, and there has been a trending downwards since then. As I said in the previous slide, we're at about 38.5. As someone has stated previously, the hydrological year is deemed to start on the 1st of November each year. So it is reasonable to expect, because the 1st of November is of course around the corner, that the dams will probably settle in the region of 38.5 to 39% as the hydrological year commences. This is the some historic data on consumption in the City of Cape Town versus targets at any particular time, the red dotted line being the target. It is worth bearing in mind that, in fact, level one restrictions have been in place as far back as the year 2005, with level two coming in to action on the 1st of January 2016. But you can get a sense from that particular slide that consumption has been trending downwards, particularly during the course of 2017, as we try and attempt to meet the 500 megaliters a day target. Some scenarios to consider. In May this year, we ran three scenarios internally with inside the city: grind it out, ramp it up, and the new normal. Grind it out is a scenario which uses the traditional management during drought periods, which principally revolves around driving down demand. That scenario predicted some degree of rain during the winter of 2017. It was deemed to be a highly risky scenario and was rejected as a way to purely rely on driving down demand as a response to the particular drought. Ramp it up in the new normal are scenarios which are particularly close in the medium term and in the short term. Both require more aggressive driving down of demand, but as well as bringing online new sources of water. The ramp it up scenario also doesn't predict any particular recovery in rainfall next year, so it is a pessimistic scenario. But the new normal scenario, which is the scenario which we are deemed to be in, considers that the climate system may very well be in considerable flux at the moment, and that the hydrological models of the past may not necessarily be the best predictors of the future, and that we need to take as far as possible a pessimistic approach to rainfall, to not live in hope of rainfall going forward, and therefore to both drive down consumption, to bring on new sources of water, but increasingly to advance any initiatives to adapt the system to more permanent water scarcity going forward, in a greater realization that we are living in a system where the impacts of climate change, which are generally well known, can be very, very, very harsh and extreme. In terms of the institutional structures with regards to the management of drought in the city has set up the following structure. It includes a disaster management program, an emergency and tactical program, and the emergency and tactical program are principally related to the period leading up until the end of June next year, as well as the strategic program, which runs from July onwards thereafter. This presentation doesn't concentrate on the strategic program, but the strategic program, of course, is the transformation of the City of Cape Town's relationship with water on a bigger scale. The new normal implores us to not only avoid acute water shortages, but to ensure that the situation is never arrived at again. So the strategic program would include things like efficiencies in the Western Cape water supply system, rehabilitation of water courses, improved use of stormwater, and water-sensitive design. But for the moment, we are acutely focused on the emergency and tactical program related around bringing online new sources of water, driving down consumption, and the disaster program, as any good organization should always plan for, is those programs related to the worst-case scenarios. It is backed up by a financial strategy program, a comms program, a technical program, and household and business adaptation program. I wanted to draw a particular reference, Chairperson, to the establishment of the Water Resilience Section 80 Committee. The Section 80 Committee is created in terms of the Municipal Structures Act. It isn't a part of the Act which is very, very commonly used. Most portfolio committees in municipalities and metropolitan areas are Section 79 committees, which are made up of city councillors or town councillors. The Section 80 committee is a committee which has been created by the Council of the City of Cape Town, and it includes external experts from a wide range of different sectors, including the four universities in the Western Cape, all of which have some presence in the City of Cape Town, a representative from the Department of Water and Sanitation, and we thank the Minister of Water and Sanitation for making this nomination, and that is Mr. Trevor Belzer, and we're very grateful for his ongoing engagement and advice.
The level of integration between the city and national department is certainly advanced through this initiative. Representatives from the Western Cape Provincial Government, and we're very thankful to Minister Bedell for making available a number of officials from a number of different departments in the Western Cape, including agriculture, the economic sides of the government and the environmental sides of the government, representatives from business, representatives from civil society, and importantly representatives from neighboring municipalities as well. The city is a supplier of water to both Drakenstein and Stellenbosch municipality. We're all in this together, and therefore it's important that we find even more ways to coordinate our efforts going forward. It has met thus far three times and is advised and is chaired by Councillor Limburg, who is the leader of our delegation today. This particular advisory committee has oversight and provides advice over the water resilience technical program, and thus far is working very, very well. I'm now going to hand over to my colleague Peter Flower, the Director of Water, who will start talking us through some of the interventions.
Thank you, Garrett. Good morning, Chair, Ministers, Honourable Members. With your indulgence, I'll speak from here, which saves us moving backwards and forwards to the front table. As we've said, the Cape Town's Water Resilience Plan comprises two different legs. One of them is to add additional non-surface water into the resource suite that we have to supplement the water that we take from the surface water, the dam system of the Western Cape. And then, in addition to that, accelerating more aggressive water demand management implementation. Now, I'm going to talk about the first one initially, and my colleague, my manager of water management, water demand management, Zolile Bolasholo, will then take you through the other leg. If we can, we've got that slide up. It's a little bit difficult to see. Essentially, what we're showing there is the emergency program breakdown. And what we have here is an accelerated build program where we've identified essentially three different typologies that we can utilize. That would be groundwater, reuse of treated effluent, and desalination. And we look at different options for permanent and temporary application of these projects and timing in order to expedite the bringing on of the new additional water. And the desalination is also separated into two options, where they either are land-based or sea-based, marine-based. So that's what is shown there. The blue portion is what is going ahead right now. Tenders are actually going out, and we've been issuing tenders at the rate of about three a week for the last number of weeks. And some of those contracts are already moving forward into implementation. The final phase there, which we deem the extreme tranche, we are doing preparatory work to move to, and that is the final 200 megalitres of the 500 that we are aiming for, and we haven't yet initiated the actual implementation of that phase, but we are planning to be able to do it at short notice. So just going to the next slide, where we're talking about how do we move through this highly complex implementation plan. Bringing on these multitude of various installations takes an extreme amount of focus and professional application. So first of all, we have to look at what volumes can be absorbed at the different points in our system, in our water supply system in the city, quickly. Now, just like the human body, the biggest pipes are close to the heart, which is your pump, and the smaller pipes are at the extremities of your limbs. Now, by the same token, our water treatment plants from there are large diameter pipes, but they are inland, and desalination obviously takes place on the coast, and that's close to the fingertip capillaries of our system, if you like to make that analogy. So we have to be very careful in selecting where we put in the desalination plants, because there's a limitation to how much you can inject into the system. But we looked at quick wins in terms of temporary, possibly, where we could put a number of small units in at various points where we can more easily install that without environmental negative implications, and where we can absorb it into the system. So some of the site constraints were looking at who owns the land where we could potentially put it up, because if it's city-owned, we can expedite it very much more rapidly than if it's private. Is there sufficient electricity supply available to power up desalination, which is a large draw of energy? Injection point I've mentioned about. The discharge points, if we're doing desalination, if we're doing water reuse, we have to discharge the effluent from those processes, either brine or whatever they get discharged from the reuse comprises as well. So that needs to be looked at carefully. Where can that be taken in and without contravening environmental requirements? And then on desalination, you've got the sea depths, the water quality, you know, looking at wave heights, land use, zoning, pipe routes to get it into the system. So it's highly complex, and this has been addressed as rapidly as quick as possible. The environmental impacts, too, vary in terms of groundwater reuse and desalination impacts. Of course, around the peninsula, where there are some ideal sites to locate it, it's effectively an excluded zone because of the coastal protection area, where it doesn't allow any of these forms of activities. So going to the more detailed breakdown, and I'm not going to go through those individually, but suffice to say that shows each of the individual typologies broken down to the sites that have been identified where these installations can be put, indicating also what the volumes that we can expect in terms of yield of each of those are. And typically, the timing of getting these in from a first water point of view. Now one must understand this collectively is a multi-billion rand per year exercise that we're looking at, and provisional estimates for the current year will be about 5 billion rand. To give you context to the enormity of what this program actually entails. Not missing from that list is the TMGA, the Table Mountain Group Aquifer, activity in which the city has been involved for and driven for a number of years, at least 12 years, where we've been doing exploratory work, identifying ideal sites to tap into the aquifer, but bearing in mind the city has always done in terms of a precautionary approach to ensure no negative impact on the environmental side of things.
You're rounding up, no? Thank you.
Sorry?
You're rounding up.
I can't hear.
You are rounding up.
Time. Not quite. I've got a bit more to do, but I will try and round up.
Let me tell you why you're rounding up. We do not have time.
Okay.
And moreover, that we all know what is happening in the afternoon of today at 2 o'clock to be precise.
I see. All right. Well, let me get to the juicy part then. Okay, the next slide is showing very briefly the time scale that we're looking at for each of the projects, from the optimistic through to the pessimistic. And that is what we're using on the pessimistic side in terms of our planning. The 20.8 million that was allocated from disaster management, as I mentioned, goes into the TMG aquifer. The contractor has been appointed and he's moving on to site as soon as we have confirmation that he has his sureties in place. So he's ready, mobilized to go onto site within the next few days. I will ask our MACA member, Zanthia Limburg, to just take us through the financial considerations quickly.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think as Mr. Flower indicated, our ability to fund this particular water resilience program is going to be crucial. And there's some key financial considerations that the city has used to inform our workings around being able to secure the necessary funding. This particular water resilience program is a multi-year billion rand project, both from an operational and capital funding perspective. And so the city has already started work in trying to do an internal exercise around where we can source the necessary funding. There is some cash reserves that we will be tapping into internally. We are looking at doing budget cuts and cutting back on so-called nice-to-haves. We're also doing internal reprioritization of capital projects both within the Water and Sanitation Department and in other departments within the city. And then the city has already initiated the application of different concessionary loans and funding, with the green bond being the most recent bond that we will be tapping into for the funding of the water resilience project. There are other concessionary loans that we're waiting to be confirmed, and that will also assist our ability to finance this particular program. But in order to reprioritize funding within the city across different boats, we need a special adjustment budget meeting, but we still await National Treasury's approval for this. We have already written to them. We have not received a response yet, and we will need to have a special and urgent council meeting relatively soon in order to be able to approve the necessary funding internally in order to ensure that we can release that funding for the Water Resilience Program. All of this is obviously going to have multiple impacts for the operations of the water management service going into the future. Obviously, we will have to look at the impact of lost revenue because we are putting pressure on water savings through restrictions. There's also going to be an inability to cover operational expenditure for the 2018 financial year and onwards. And in the long run, we are going to have to dramatically shift our focus on how the Water and Sanitation Department operates in the context of reduced collection rates as well as increased tariffs. This will all really transform the water services space, and we've already initiated modeling exercises to see how we can manage that going forward.
Good afternoon, Chair, and the Honourable Chair and Honourable Ministers and Members of Parliament. Mine will be short and sweet, and I'll just talk on water demand management and water conservation initiatives. Firstly, it's important to mention that the city in the early 2000s have implemented the water demand management and water conservation and have adopted a water demand management and water conservation strategy in 2007. And that strategy had budget and associated resources. You know, and firstly, you know, if you see on the slides, the consumption by use of category, you can use house, you can see households and flats and category complexes are more. You know, there are people that use more water that side, followed by retail and offices, and city-owned building and departments. Next slide. Over the years, the City of Cape Town have implemented different levels of water restrictions, level 1 to level 5. Level 1 is also been converted to water demand management best practice, and also with the associated measures that are there that are not limited to those ones. Those are just high level sort of measures and the associated targets. The second slide just shows on the high level, level 5 water restriction with the measures that are being implemented in terms of level 5, you know, that they are not limited to those ones. Next slide. You can see just the consumption that have changed over the years. Since 2006 and until 2017, the City of Cape Town per capita daily water use have dropped from 270 liters per person to 140 per person per day. Next slide. The city have also adopted a third water reticulation system, which is the treated effluent reuse that comes from the wastewater treatment plant. We have 200 users that have connected, you know, permanently, you know, that are using, you know, treated effluent. And also we have 90 water, can you just go back? We have more than 70 industrial and construction companies that are collecting treated effluent due to the water restrictions. And most of the people that are using treated effluent is golf courses, parks, schools, and also sort of industry. The treated effluent has increased drastically
to more than 9% during this drought period, because people are using treated effluent to offset potable water as well, so to comply with the said restrictions. And then the city have been awarded different sort of awards in terms of the implementation of the different water sort of water demand and water conservation measures. As I have mentioned, that since the 2000, you can see in the graph that shows clearly that with the implementation of the water demand management and water conservation, including the restriction, that the consumption have dropped drastically, although the population growth has increased by 1 million. Next slide. Currently, what we're doing, in terms of water education and awareness, we intensify education and awareness program. We have also created jobs using EPWP workers to go door to door. Currently we have employed 393 EPWP workers. We're going to increase that figure to 800. And 20 in this financial year. Other engagement, you can see it's
1 minute.
Okay, going to schools and all those different places. And then what's important, you can see the water losses compared to all other metros in the country. The city is sitting at 15.2%. Next slide. And then I've mentioned all the different measures. Pressure management. You can see that we have created 116 pressure management zones. We are busy constructing 229 pressure management zones. And then the other one is leak detection. We have teams. We are implementing that across the city. And next slide. And then we have also a pipe replacement program that we sort of replaced 27,400 meters of portable pipeline. And then as you can see, we have drastically reduced the pipe burst per 100 kilometers per annum from 60 bursts per 100 kilometers to less than 19. And then we are rolling out the implementation of water management devices to all high water users currently. Initially, we are focusing on indigent households to assist them to reduce the water wastage in those areas. But now, during this drought period, we're focusing on all the households that are using more than 20 kiloliters per month. And then on top of that, we have an enforcement team that goes and enforce the restrictions that we have implemented. And we have 18 permanent water inspectors implementing that, plus 20 EPWP workers.
Chairperson, I think that is. There are obviously more slides which are available, but according to obviously your prescribed time frame, this is probably the right place to pause our presentation.
Okay, thank you, members. That gives us an idea as to where we are. A number of those issues raised, especially from agriculture and also from water. And also from COCTA, are not new. The essence of it all talks about the fact that there is no alternative to water. And also, the essence of it all talks about having to do more in terms of service delivery with less. That last will talk about having to reduce water use and also having to make sure that we now do exploit the new technologies that are there without having to think about it. Those new technologies, they talk less in terms of cost. Different to that brick and mortar that we are so accustomed to. So that's what this whole story tells us. Even going forward, with all the demands expressed by both COCTA and also the province and also the municipality. So that's the story, members. I would imagine there are a number of issues there. If I can only request that, one thing I know for a fact is that when you ask a question, you do have an answer. So that we don't really go around the question and comments. This is what I think should happen. Boom. By so doing, we are going forward. Okay. We shall have to be assisted here. Some of us are not familiar with some of the names. I saw your hand, Mr. Chow. Okay, we'll go with the row. Mr. Basson, Mrs. Annette Stein. I cannot remember the other gentleman there. Andre. Mali. Milam. Thank you, Mr. Milam.
And I thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity to ask questions now. To be straight, Chair, firstly, obviously, I don't want to go through the, you know, all the songs that I was singing, but to appreciate the role that is played by National Department, especially the Department of Water and Sanitation, and the leadership and the support that they are giving. My question, obviously, is that out of the 43 dams that are in the Western Cape, in the entire presentation, you've been talking about four dams, the entire presentation. What's happening with the rest of the dams, that the 39 dams? And the question that comes in, are we in control of that water in the other dams that you have not spoken about? And what is that water being used for in the 39 dams that you have not spoken for? For me, that's one of the key things, Chair, because we need to be in charge of the water that is under the control of the state. So I want to hear that part. Secondly, the question of yours is that the coordination between the city of Cape Town and the province and national, can someone talk to us about that coordination around the issues of disaster and having declared a disaster in the Western Cape? What is the standard currently? Are we satisfied with the work that is being done by all spheres with regards to coordination of disaster? For now, these are my questions here. May come back with you one.
Mr. Basson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I also would like to thank all the presentations. I think everybody is on the same page. The only thing that is missing at the moment is the funding. How do we fund the shortfall of the water? Chairperson, a question to the Minister of Water and Sanitation is that we talk about a lot of money here, and we know what the situation is of the Department of Water and Sanitation, the challenges that they have. So, Chairperson, I am not satisfied with the commitment or the commitment by COCTA. The Minister has 74-odd million made a contribution. Minister, it's about 500 million short of what you should contribute to this Western Cape drought. I need to hear from you, Minister. What are you going to do? This cannot only be the problem of the Department of Water and Sanitation. You represent the municipalities in this province, and you should come up with more money to resolve this problem. Minister, then a question to you is, the funding is going to be a problem. The desalination, we've all heard, that's the new technology the Chairperson is talking about. That is the future for the Western Cape, up to Saldanha in the West Coast and all over. My question to you, Minister, is we are getting nearer to ground zero or day zero. Wouldn't it be best for you to request the Cabinet to declare a disaster in the Western Cape? Because that will cut all red tape that could delay any water licenses, and all other red tape that is involved with this. And then ask you, Minister, isn't it now the right time for your department to instruct TCTA
to take over desalination and run desalination and source money outside to fund this model over a period of 20 years, or what period has it been agreed to with the City of Cape Town and other municipalities within the Western Cape that we can assist, and then see whether your department cannot assist with funding, with boreholes, and getting into the aquifer, assisting the municipalities with that, because I think out of your budget, Minister, you will be able to address that. But when we get to desalination, where we talk about a few billion that we're going to need, that is a long-term project, which is the responsibility of your department and not the City of Cape Town. They've done a lot of work, and I appreciate the fact that you were closely involved yourself as the minister with the City of Cape Town and the government. But I think we should now, like the bacon and egg issue, you're either involved or you're committed. And I see us to get committed. I believe the minister is involved by giving that small amount of money. He should get committed now with another 500 million out of his budget, seeing that he had a 3.4 billion that he didn't spend last year. So, Chairperson, for now, that would be my call on the matter, and I would like to hear the Minister's response on the way forward concerning TCTA and then the assistance also from the Department on other issues.
Thank you for that. Let me also mention that I'm quite conscious of the fact that we did not get any presentation or submission by the Provincial Treasury. I take it that you shall be part of those that respond to any of these questions, especially as we talk a way forward. Mrs. Tay?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for all the presenters. I think it gives us a clear indication of what is currently happening. Chairperson, my focus will be more around agriculture. My concern is that we have been asking almost 2 years now to declare a national disaster for drought. And I know there's a fight about the technicalities of it, and we've had the fight, and I don't want that fight again. I think from my position it is also clear, I know that we are discussing and focusing a lot more on the Western Cape today, but there's issues right around the country. In Sarah Boutman district in the Eastern Cape, more than 7,000 animals died this year, and they're still dying. So I want to ask the Minister of Local Government, how many times did this interministerial disaster task team meet in this year to discuss what is going on? I'm getting the sense that we are discussing it when the crisis is real, like the Western Cape now. We are now discussing it, and then next week or next month we relax a bit, and then we are going on. What is the plan to deal with disaster risk? And I think one of the presenters from the Western Cape spoke about climate change. We never discussed that. I think it's a reality for South Africa that the climate change is coming, and it's with us, it's not coming, it's here. We've had hail and droughts and all kinds of things coming and going, but there is no budget for that. I want to find out from the Minister of Local Government what budget do we have for disasters going forward this year, what assistance can you give? I was made aware that last year or the year before 2015, some of the disaster funding was not used, and the answer was because no one requested it. We are in the drought for years now, and I can't believe that no one requested it. Department of Agriculture know that I'm constantly on their backside to say, why can't we declare the disasters in other areas to assist? Why is it not happening? And I know why it's not happening, because there's no funds. So I would like to know from the Minister of Water, how much money was spent in the Western Cape province in the last 5 years on infrastructure, bulk infrastructure, because I think that's the crux of the matter. maybe nationally, we don't develop the bulk infrastructures, and I don't sit on water, so maybe I'm wrong in this, but I would like to find out on bulk infrastructure development, what have we done in the last 5 years, and what is the plans going forward? And I agree, I think the desalination is the way to go. But then we need to do it now. We can't wait until 50 years and we sit with even less rain. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Just the name again?
Malam, Chairperson.
Malam, thank you. Malam. Thanks, Mr. Malam.
It's like Malema, but without the A on the end.
That's your partner.
Chairperson, and I've been a member since 2013, so I've been around for a long time. Chair, a couple of questions. My first one follows on from where Honourable Steyn left off, and that is, as she indicated, there was 300-odd million rand unspent in the last annual report of the National Disaster Management Centre, and yet we have been calling for a disaster to be declared since at least January 2015. Why has it taken so long to identify this as an issue, and why is the NDMC not approving requests? There was a request from NISNA for 23 million rand. Why was that not approved? Why was it declined? On what basis are these emergency requests being declined? And then we heard from Councillor Limburg when she said that they would have to get permission from National Treasury in order to have a special appropriations budget meeting in order to then approve the appropriations for these emergency services that they require. This is to the Minister of Cooperative Governance. When a disaster is declared, surely that should trigger emergency appropriation processes. In other words, that a council can bypass its ordinary processes and say, we are going to do this because it is an emergency. Equally, shouldn't it then trigger the release of emergency funding, the money that's sitting in National Disaster Management Center, the money that's sitting in your budget, Mr. Minister, the money that's sitting in other places as contingency funding? Shouldn't it trigger the release of that so that we can address those issues as a priority? So the question really is, why isn't that happening? What do we need to do to make that happen and to make it happen now so that Councillor Limburg can go and approve a budget to address these issues? Because right now she's sitting waiting for somebody, I think it's National Treasury, to approve that they have a council meeting. Why can't we put in place the systems that allow this to happen now? Do we need to change legislation? And if so, what legislation?
Okay, those are the few questions for now. If any, if you don't mind, sir.
Thanks, sir. Minister, in 2015, you reported in Parliament that the Wap Dam in Nebo is completely finished. But the problem is that now, as we speak, the neighboring communities to the dam are not getting any water. And the Jane First Hospital, which is built on a summit, is not getting any water because the reticulation process was delayed, and as a result, people decided to connect to the main pipe. And therefore, the hospital is not getting any water. And also the Philadelphia Hospital, the Mutse main pipe supply is complete, but the hospital, as we speak now, and the people don't get water. So my question is, are you aware of this, that the people have themselves made connections to the main pipe? Are you aware, Minister, that also Philadelphia Hospital, in spite of the fact that the main pipe is complete, people are still not getting water? Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chauke is requested for an indulgence.
No,
you can, just very, very briefly.
No. I think what we must not do is to lose the object of this meeting. What is very important in this meeting is that we have to understand coordination of drought in the Western Cape. And once you have that understanding, the rest of the issues will flow, because to an extent that you may at some point just expect one report that covers all the role players from the three spheres, with the disaster management being involved. We're now going to be bringing issues of, in my constituency, I don't have water in the clinic there. Can you resolve it? Minister, are you aware of this? It's just going to divert the focus. What is important here is for us to know coordination. There's drought in the Western Cape. Are spheres working together to coordinate drought? What are the issues? What is it that you want Parliament to do to help you? These are issues that we must hear, Chair. So I'm saying that those are very critical issues that we should not lose sight, and we have to focus there, that energy there. If we make a mistake, Chair, we'll end up having this meeting not achieving what we wanted to achieve. Because drought is real, it's happening in the Western Cape, the whole country of the Azimgal. This may be exemplary to have an understanding of how government deals with issues of drought, not only the Western Cape, but national again. It's very important, watch for. So that's an approach. The issues of resources and all of that will have to come from this coordinated effort that has been put in place. We can't deal with it separately and say, we wanted 20 million for this, it can't. It had to come from yourself working together. If you are not working together, then we have to force it as Parliament Chair that there must be a proper coordination that must happen. And that must be the approach that we take.
Thank you, Mr. Chauke. I think at two levels, Mr. Chauke is assisting us on one hand, so that, Mr. Motsepe, we are not going to be all over. The focus here is on Western Cape. Granted, I think it was last year or year before last, and we met also at this very same venue when we were dealing with the matters of drought. The second point that requires that focus Mr. Chauke is making reference to is a very issue that we attempted to raise with the department, especially with the Disaster Management Center. Because what we discovered is that a number of departments, they have their own interventions. Water and sanitation, for instance, has been spending a lot of money that is owed by COCTA to water and sanitation. Exactly. To a point where you also would have heard other departments, rural development, they have their own disaster management interventions and a number of those. They were presenting numbers here. Now, those numbers were not tallying with the National Disaster Management Center. So the focus made by gestured by Mr. Chauke talks to that central focus, which is National Disaster Center, that must give us the direction going forward. That's the issue raised. There's a hand there at the end, Mr. Mgunuish Mamukaula. You being the last for this round, and then we'll take it forward from there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good day, ladies and gentlemen, and colleagues. There's this last phase that has been introduced by the Western Cape on the water restriction, which I think is one of the phases which helps in the restriction processes. But I would like to know from the Western Cape, the province, whether they have any stringent approach to enforce the implementation of the regulation on the restriction of the water. You see, there's an article that I have gone through which has to do with fill up the tap by major business people or business companies around Western Cape. How are they going to deal with that allegation of those big business people or business companies which want to not adhere to the regulation that has been put by the Western Cape province? Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Makola.
Ngibonge sihlalo. Mina okwami nje kuthe phecelezi, kodwa ngikhona impela la e-Western Cape. And the Minister Waga Water, namhlanje ngendaba yakho angizokudila nawe, ngizokhuluma no-Minister Okakot. Lana sihlalo nginenkinga la e-Western Cape. Uyazi ngizithola nginenkinga ngalento yamanzi ngoba sekunalento okufana neculo ukuthi kukhulunywe lento ye-drought. Uyabona uma ucula ngiqambe iculo manje nisukume nonke nilivumele nilicule, mina ngiyaphikisana nalo. Ngizokutshela sihlalo ukuthi ngishiso yini. Ayikho lento yesomiso la e-Cape Town. La e-Cape Town amanzi akhona. Njengoba ngithi akhona amanzi la, into engiyibukayo sinenkinga yalo mnyango wakakhokta ongafuni ukusebenza ngokuzimisela nokuthi sithole o-researcher, labantu ababizwa ukuthi ama-researcher abazobheka la amanzi ukuthi akhona.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will differ slightly on my question. And I'm not going to refer anything to the Minister of Water and Sanitation today. Chairperson, I have a problem with the issue of water because the issue of drought is no longer an excuse. People keep on referring to drought all the time. And not all of us can use drought as an excuse because this is not a song which could be led by one person. Specifically, I want to refer to the city of Cape Town. There is water in Cape Town, plenty of water. There is water that is flowing that needs to be kept. It's just that in the Department of COCTA, the department is not determined to work in order to preserve water.
Okay, let's take those few questions and then...
Sorry, Chair.
Mama?
Besivumelene ngizoshaya bena bese atolika ngathi noma ngizoshaya bese ngiyaqeda yini. Bengakaqedi, bengisafaka isingeniso. Bengishiso ukuthi lasihlanu, lapha e-Cape Town, kunamanzi agelezayo, asuka ezintabeni nemifula ekade isebenza ethola ukuthi yavalwa, lawo manzi still akhona. Nginangisho example yaleyo nto. Lawo manzi wonke ayageleza ahambe aye ayongena emadamini instead ukuthi lawo manzi wonke aqoqwe angene emadamini akwazi ukuthi kuvikelwe lesi simo. Agcwele, yabona nje uma uqhamuka ngase-Akhesha kwenzele isibonelo sihlala ngapha ngaka left kunendawo la ubona ukuthi amanzi akhona, kufana nalento ngazi nibiza ngani sihlale ibizwa ngokuthi ibhuma. Ibhuma likhombisa ukuthi kuleyo ndawo kunamanzi, and intaba lento uminister ngelanga sasavumelana naye ngisho ukuthi lana kufuneki lo sicasha ngesithupha indawo engengenawo amanzi sihlalo, yindawo epleni engenazo iy'ntaba, indawo ewugwadule. Lana amanzi akhona kuphela, thina sinenkinga yabantu abamavila nabangafuni ukusebenza basebenze ukuthi abantu bakwazi amanzi bawathole. Ngicela ukwazi ukuthi-ke abantu basemakhaya ke bona nithini ngabo, ngoba kwabona emakhaya banayo inkinga. Even khona lana elokhuzeni lana ekhayelisha kutholakala kwenye indawo amanzi kuthiwa awekho, kwenye indawo kuthiwa amanzi akhona. Amanzi akhona bakithi, sicela labantu ababizwa ngokuthi ama-research awenze umsebenzi. And uCoctor akayeki ukuba kude nominister, noma kabe yeke ukuba kude nalo mnyango wamanzi. Ngoba into esilimazayo thina si-water and sanitation, silinyazwa ukuthi umnyango wakaCoctor nomasipala abafuni ukusebenzisana nathi. Uthola ukuthi thina la siyakhuluma siyilo mnyango, sikhala ngey'nkinga ezisikhungethe ngamanzi. Toluti pans bar lexile ama kanzela
won't.
The main issue here that I want to raise.
In summary, no?
The main issue that I want to raise here, Chairperson, is that there is water, plenty of water. Water is flowing from mountains, and some water is not being used because some rivers were blocked during the time of construction of roads, and so on and so on. If you come from, for an example, from Acacia Park, if you look on your left, there is plenty of water flowing over there. And in areas or valleys where you see the growing of reeds, that is a sign for the presence of water. And I think the main problem here is that in the Department of Culture and Water, there are people there who are lazy, who are not determined to work. And we also need competent, dedicated researchers to do the work. My last appeal, Chairperson, is that the Department of Culture should not sit back and stay away from the Department of Water. It should work hand in hand with the Minister of Water and Sanitation as well as the Department. Thank you.
Minister Van Rooyen, Minister Mankunyane.
Thank you very much. I will quickly allow our officials to respond and then from there we'll wrap up myself and Minister Mankunyane.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Honourable Members. I'll take about six issues. The first relates to coordination. To just depart from the fact that the act that we implement enjoins us to ensure that there's coordination of the work of all sectors on disaster management issues. If you look at the Act Chapter 3, it's about the National Disaster Management Center and how it interfaces with provinces in terms of Chapter 4 and Chapter 5 municipal disaster management. So there's various forums in terms of which coordination happens, but also at incident or occurrence management level. Once there has been an occurrence, it will then be reported to the province, and the province and the municipality, including relevant sectors which it affects, if it's about housing issues or it's about fire issues or it's drought or any other occurrence, there will then be an assessment.
Chair, my apologies, please, just to come in. Mm. Just be relevant to the current situation that we're dealing with. I understand the act very clear.
Okay.
Does it happen? That's the point that one. If you can just speak on that, watch. Not yes, but allow him the way he wants to speak. But speak to the situation in the Western Cape.
Okay.
It will be good as you do that through a minister again that we allow the province and the city to speak around their understanding of this coordination. It's very important for the committee, for us to have an understanding that there is coordination and all the role players are involved in the process.
Yeah.
This is what is very key for us.
If you can afford preambles and introduction, straight to the point, and also deal with specifics.
Okay, indeed, there's coordination for this province. We have indicated that a declaration has been made. Before a declaration is made, or sometimes after it's made, depending on circumstances, we have to come and do what we call verification. That is what the NDMC does, and then after that verification, we issue what we call a classification letter. So that's what we do, and it happens in all cases. And then on the issue of information, Chair, I think what we'll appreciate is that on disaster management issues, like any other program, you deal with various information, including funds that are spent for various projects, statistics in terms of dam levels and other related matters. The presentation was submitted on the 16th, and you will also note that it's possible that after a presentation has been submitted, there can be spending on some of the items. And in that regard, you may find some variation. But we always make sure that we have our information coordinated. There's also a question about declaring a province a disaster area. That is already the case. The province is declared a disaster area, a national disaster. But as you'll appreciate, disaster management is not about just managing the incident, but it's also about risk reduction work that must happen. So the scientific information must be in place to necessitate that a particular decision is taken. So at the moment, we recognize that we are a water scarce country, but we have not reached a level where we can say the country should be declared a national disaster. Because we must...
Chairperson, we're not talking about the country. Please, if the speaker can get to the point, we asked the Minister of Water and Sanitation on a national disaster. We didn't ask COCTA for that. Chairperson, he doesn't need to explain to us. He can explain to us how much money they'll put on the table. I think that's what we want to hear.
Yeah,
we don't want to hear all the semantics.
Yes, sir.
By allowing the responses to be given, and only there at the end can we see if it is possible to entertain some of these issues.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thanks, Ms. Musa. Continue, sir. If you don't mind, again, I repeat, no introduction, no preamble with specifics. Boom. This is the response.
Okay, thank you very much. The other issue is available funding. In terms of the emergency relief grant, we have just over 500,000, but it should be noted that that fund is accessed through conditions.
I hear you saying 500,000 rand.
Yes, 500 million, sorry, my apologies.
Okay.
Yes, 500 million, but it's accessed through conditions. There's various conditions that must be fulfilled. One of them is that it should indeed be emergency issues, and they should be disaster-related, not service delivery backlog or operations and maintenance issues. Hence, we send teams to come and do the assessment, a thorough assessment. The other issue is supporting the NYSNA. In NYSNA, we are providing hands-on support. In fact, we have also gone to undertake a verification so that the application can be put through for consideration in terms of the emergency relief grant. So I think those are the answers that I can provide, Chairperson.
Any further responses? Just for now? Is that the only response? Mrs. Mukunyane? Yeah, we'll come back to that. Are you responding? Any further responses?
Chair, let me come in. I know what he's going to say, let me say it. I'm worried about time. Chair, I want to state, firstly, on the declaration of a disaster, it gets done through the Department of COCTA, having consulted and did all the verification and so forth. And I must say that, yes, wall to wall, South Africa is faced with a serious challenge, and I think there would have to come a time where national government makes a determination, but there are strict requirements. There are strict requirements that have to be dealt with, so that then we do not react on the basis of what we are faced with in the Western Cape when we have had the drought over the last 3 years. I think it becomes quite important. The second issue is on the issues that have been raised about the TCTA and so forth. In our own approach, working together with the three spheres of government, all the coastal cities and towns, starting with Richards Bay, we have agreed that we need to increase our water mix and desalination has to be considered. There has been some work that the provincial government, working together with us, have started to look at, and the Water Research Commission, with regard to the desalination processes that must unfold, particularly in your coastal cities and towns, and it would be, going into the future, be part of your regional bulk infrastructure, correctly so, Honorable Person. But it is something that we'll have to quantify. It is something that we'll have to work much more better on it. And of course, TCTA would then have to be brought in, as we did also with the Richards Bay interventions that came at a very reasonable price. I think colleagues have also picked up that particular issue. There is a plant in the Western Cape that was built before. We are also looking at that particular plant and see how it can actually be refurbished and rehabilitated, because it had its own challenges on how it was actually designed. What has been spent in the last 5 years, I can safely say in the last 5 years we have spent almost 8 billion, more than 800 million spent in the Western Cape around regional bulk infrastructure. Some of the projects are already complete. We have 6 wastewater treatment works that the National Department of Water has actually implemented, and those projects are actually complete. And they are outside of the work that is related to disaster management. There is now already even a commitment that goes with the Cape Water Supply System to the tune of 550 million. That is what is going to be done. The raising of the Glen Williams Dam, it would also have to deal no longer just with raising the dam for having water stored there, but it must also be seen as water security so that we create reserves going into the future. Chairperson, two things that I want to indicate is that, as I have said previously, there is no way that we can be in a position to deal with issues unless we deal even with those legislative matters. We have been victims of that as this department. Over the past 3 years, we had to intervene, albeit these challenges. And I'm sure myself and my colleague here will agree that there's a need to review the legislation so that then we are not found wanting for having violated the laws when it comes to emergency, including the definition of emergency. If the Western Cape has been faced with the drought for this particular period and we're told that emergency is only for a period of 3 months, it can't work. And I think it's those kind of contradictions that we definitely have to look at as legislators and say, this is what you are going to help us to deal with, so that then an intervention for a situation like this one, we are not actually confined to a 3 months and it is said to be an emergency. To put a desalination plant, if you go beyond the 3 months, surely the AG and everybody, National Treasury and everyone will say, it's beyond what you define as emergency. Our experience of Kiani is a case in point. So I think these contradictions demand on us, Chair, as part of the way forward, that we appreciate that we have started to have this engagement on the basis of the Western Cape, but through our colleague, we should come back here and come and discuss the disaster management approach in South Africa and the laws that require us to adhere to them, including the resourcing, because I'm sure we would also understand that we only get resources back to us once we have implemented, and for now we have actually received less than 300 million as the department through National Treasury. But if you look at the challenges, the demands in communities have actually surpassed an amount of over 3 billion. That's the Cape Town requirement of 5 billion against what we put, then actually puts us at risk. So I would suggest, Chair, that now that we have initiated this, our next interaction, because I am worried about the Eastern Cape situation in Nguma and Butterworth, it's actually not looking quite good. The Ngakamudiri Mulema, Gauteng in the northwest, and the entire Northern Cape, We need to come as this committee to come and deal with these issues and possibly even invite National Treasury and make sure therefore that we look at these issues in a different light. Coordination can be improved. I think it must be improved, not just of meetings, but of agreeing on how to implement and deal with issues. But where we are seated as a department, we have been quite satisfied. The last thing I see, the chair of the standing committee. The issues of reticulation, chair, and I would have thought the colleagues from Water would speak about it. We need to make sure that there's commitment towards maintenance that is budgeted for, and then reticulation, because what Ntate Motsepe raised, correctly so, we build the dams, the municipalities have to deal with reticulation and all those things. If we go in there, it becomes irregular. And if we don't do it, we are also found wanting. So I think that's what we definitely have to start working on. I want to appreciate this presentation, this interaction, but I want to propose that we then identify the salient points that must make us to come together and say what is to be done on top of what each one of us has committed towards, and even how best you deviate from the norm and be able to make an intervention. And I think the portfolio committees are better placed to help us on protecting both the COCTA, ourselves, and agriculture, on how best to deal with the issues of going beyond the norm, which is what we call the new normal. Thanks, Chair.
You want to contribute, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I want to do, Chair. Chair, it's just unfortunate that we didn't pay specific attention to recommendations that were captured in some of the presentation made. And the sole intention of those recommendations, it was to guide the outcome of this engagement. But I'm happy because what has been covered by Minister Mukonyane to a large extent is provided for in some of the recommendations. But I can't agree more with the suggestions that says, can we have a session where we present the generic approach to issues of disaster risk reduction, but also how do we deal, I mean, reactively, as we have been doing, to current, because there are so many disasters that have been happening in the country. And I think we might be found wanting by the people in the Eastern Cape, by our people in Gauteng, if we don't respond to those issues holistically. So I will encourage the committee to really support this particular suggestion, because it's out of our generic approach or our comprehensive approach that committee members or members of parliament will start to understand the magnitude and the severity of the situations that we are dealing with, but also what are the clear recommendations taking our country forward, what are the clear recommendations ensuring that we are ready. But because of time, Chair, there are a few things that are very important that came out from members' submissions, but those things are in our recommendations too, and I really want to emphasize on just those two points. The first point is the point raised by yourself, Chair, a very important point. Misalignment of sector department in terms of their interventions. Their interventions at time, we have picked up as an interministerial task team that their intervention of sector departments at times are not appropriately aligned. And what is the consequence? The question is, it's good that we all have the commitment and the passion of intervening when there is a disaster or when there is an emergency. But the consequence is that in itself introduced some inefficiencies. But besides introduction of some inefficiencies, that at times causes overlapping of interventions, and it becomes very, very wasteful. We have picked up on that, and we have instructed our technical team to develop what we term a collaborative approach or collaborative framework on dealing with such issues. But then it was brought quite succinctly by water and sanitation on some of the projects that they had to undertake or execute. I bet those projects were supposed to be executed by other sector departments, more especially on issues of the boreholes. That's specifically a mandate which is supposed to be carried by a helicopter, but it was carried out by water and sanitation because of the urgency of the situation. Now, we have agreed that that collaborative framework, among other things, must address that issue. And definitely, there is work that is currently happening at a technical level. The second very, very important issue brought by Honorable Melam, as you were there some 3 or 4 days ago when I issued an instruction, because it frustrates me more than any other person when I get into a situation of a disaster or an emergency. And then we go and visit people, and then it takes us 3 weeks to come back. It can't be correct. So there is a clear call for us to relook at our reaction time to some of these emergencies. And definitely, as we are speaking, the team, our National Disaster Management Center, is looking at the legislation, but also is looking at any impediments that might discourage or stop us from realizing this particular process, because a disaster or an emergency need expeditious response from us as government. I think those are the 2 points. There are so many things that I wanted to cover, Chair, but in the interest of time, those are the 2 points that I fully agree with members that they need to be looked at differently. Thank you very much.
There are a number of recommendations from the province and also from the city. And I could hear the minister and other officials making reference to those. Among others, it talks about the Clan William Dam. We've heard the minister talking about that. Among others, it also talks about the Brandflein Dam. But it's also a very interesting issue that is related to such augmentation that must benefit our local communities in those surrounding areas. We did not hear much on that. There was also an issue about fast-tracking on the water use licenses. A point is made about, what is this place in West Coast? Saldana and other areas. If you can also hear something about that. Catchment management agencies and the removal of the alien vegetation. I would imagine this talks to allowing a process where water is available, because those alien vegetation, they take so much of water. That should be a straightforward issue. I'm trying to get to a point where we are productive at the end of the day, so that we are not all over the show, if you understand where I'm coming from. Granted, we ask you to come back here and to look at the broader South African situation, how best we intervene, because this drought is still to be upon us. We are focused on drought. That's what brings us together here.
That's the point you have left. I think you have left the point here, which is very important. Again, that in your presentation, the department said they got 43 dams in the Western Cape. Now, the point is that who is in control of the remaining dams? Because you only spoke about 4 dams. Who is in control of this water in the 89 dams that we have?
Thank you, sir.
Can someone tell us where is the water?
Very succinctly as well, Mr. Pasan.
Chairperson, thank you. Just to Mr. Mokonyane, Minister, do I understand you correctly that you would consider, if the Western Cape Government and City of Cape Town sit down with you, looking at desalination, maybe involving TCTA, and if the request comes from the provincial government on maybe declaring a disaster from
via you and the cabinet to short circuit red tape in the intervention. We are running against time to get to day zero, and I just want to make sure I understand you correctly, Minister.
That's what I understand her to have been saying.
Yes.
The processes have started, and the department is looking at refurbishing the plant in Mossel Bay, if I'm not mistaken, and going further. Also, she mentioned T-58 specifically. So that's what I heard. Mrs. Day?
Yes, Chairperson, just also for clarity, I want to just find out from the Minister, and I can do that afterwards also, but just the amount of 800 million was mentioned for the last 5 years in the Western Cape. I'll check regional bulk infrastructure out of a budget of, I think, about 12 billion rand a year. All right. And then, Mr. Tau, you spoke about the processes in the declaration thing.
Let me help you. Part of what you need to also understand is that the 12 billion is not a budget that goes to infrastructure only. I hope that's also understood. And linked to that as well is the fact that there's also been additional work that has been done outside of this particular question that you have asked. Good.
Go out there with the wrong impression, Minister. Mr. Tau, or maybe the Minister, I just want to find out, since the Western Cape, that's coming back to practicalities again, that frustrates me also from the agricultural point. Since the Western Cape has been declared as a Western Cape disaster, has verification been done by your office, the National Disaster Risk Office, trying to find out the processes and the timeline of that? Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Miller?
Also on the verification, what worries me is when there is a disaster, and I think that there needs to be classification of short, medium, and long-term disasters, short being like it's a couple of days, it's a fire or something like that, medium maybe an earthquake where people need to be rehoused or whatever, and long-term something like a drought. But where there is verification involved in order to initiate the processes to release the funds, to release the resources, surely we should operate on the principle of trust but verify. In other words, let's put those resources in play, and if they are used improperly, then we can take action against the people who use them improperly. But where you have an emergency, where you have a situation that is a disaster, you haven't got time to run around verifying, because it seems like we talk too much and do too little. And I think that's a function across every disaster that I've seen, and it's not limited to the drought in the Western Cape, that we talk about what we should be doing, and we talk, and
thank
it takes
you,
too long for action to take place, or money to be released, or whatever.
In less than 2 minutes, can you respond to all of the issues? In less than 2 minutes, all of you.
Indeed, the legislation or the review process that I've referred to, Chairperson, it will cater for such radical submissions, because this is what we are looking at, how to respond expeditiously without necessarily having to be discouraged by the bureaucratic provisions that are currently prevalent in the legislation. So we have called for that review, and we think it will provide the required answers. Thank you.
We're done. Mr. Barr?
Chair, just to respond, thanks, Honourable Chair, Honourable Chalke's question around the monitoring of the dams. I've just indicated in the report the 43 dams which we monitor on a weekly basis. The other dams are, we produce a monthly monitoring report where the other dams are also reported on. So it's not just on the ones we reported this morning. The focus in the report, in our presentation this morning, however, we focused more on the six dams within the Western Cape supply system, and the Clan William Dam in particular.
The issues have been raised and the issues have been flagged. This is definitely work in progress. There is definitely a follow-up. Can we have one meeting, if you don't mind? Thank you. There is definitely going to be a follow-up with the respective spheres of government, local, provincial, and national,
and also respectively with the departments concerned, whether it is agriculture, whether it is COCTA, whether it is water and sanitation. That is a work in progress that must follow that route. Included in that also shall be the finance. We're planning to have a broader session that also shall incorporate National Treasury. Also to be included in that session shall be your Environment Department, inclusive of all of the departments that have participated in this whole process as we speak now. We have taken a very keen interest in really pushing this to happen even before we rise for December, recess. I almost said vacation. So that's the plan. The plan is to pull each other together before we rise for end of year break, if you like. Now that's what we are going to, as I said, it's work in progress insofar as departments and officials are concerned. Officials from both local to provincial and national, interacting with the respective departments. At the helm, obviously, it remains your COCTA department through the National Disaster Management Center that pulls things together. We really, as members of parliament here, would really wish to impress upon an alignment, especially as it relates to the money, the value for money. We are aware that some of these boreholes, you know, I was looking at the boreholes that are implemented by city and also by province. The figures vary. Now there has to be standardization of those. Otherwise, that value for money is going to be something that we really are to be following up on all the time. There are also issues related to grey water. They call the UN meeting that met earlier in the year in March, it calls it new water. With the technology that we have, we are not making much use of that. Case in point here in Durban, in Balito, there's a plant there that makes use of that grey water, that wastewater. Guess where that water goes to? Zimbali estate. They live on that water. And we have a number of such initiatives that can be started out of here.
And thanks to us, Chair, for that solution.
Exactly. So members, as I said, this is work in progress on a whole range of areas, spheres of government. We are proceeding before end of the year. We shall have to come back together. Included there, as I said, is going to be your National Treasury. A few issues have been responded to. I want to believe that that settles some of your concerns. Not all of them, I'm quite conscious. And that talks to Western Cape, that talks to Cape Town. But I continue to say it is work in progress. Members, we have arrived at a time where we are supposed to be adjourning. And that time has come. The meeting, therefore, is adjourned until we meet next week. Thank you.